All right, welcome to 2012, everybody.
Hey now.
Joel Radio with Corey Hall here as well. How you doing?
Shabbat shalom.
And everything going well for 2012?
Oh, yeah. Good times.
That's it. We're on our way to making Rick Santorum the leader of the free world, so everything's good. Right. We're not going there. We're not going there on this show.
Hey, Michelle Bachmann dropped out. That's good.
Hard to believe.
It's hard to believe the PTA mom from Minnesota didn't realize she was going to...
But I go like, you know, I could save these people so much money.
Yeah, yeah.
I could could just help everyone.
Look, I took one look at Herman Cain and went, nope.
Yeah, I mean, not, I could just not help hacking you, it. Nope. You know, so much. So dumb.
Ron Paul could save some money, please. Can you please say, you ain't winning nothing.
Ron
please.
Paul. You know the thing people say about Ron Paul? And by the way, we're going to do our best and worst of television, but we were talking politics before the show, and Corey was all fired up.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing with that Ron Paul supporters do.
Mm-hmm.
You're having a bad day. Oh, I got pulled over today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ron Paul would get rid of speeding tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you say, he's like, you know, I'd love to get some weed. Well, Ron Paul would make weed legal. You know, it's like, there's nothing you could say that Ron Paul doesn't have the magic solution for.
I don't want to get, you're right, this is a whole other topic.
Ron Paul is magical, but man.
I see some Ron Paul stickers, Ron Paul signs on your street.
Yeah.
And what happens, the problem with Ron Paul is, I think it's like people read the first two credits. You know what I mean? It's like, what if you only watched Star Wars Episode 4 and never saw the prequels?
Right,
you just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just didn't know that Lucas was, you'd go, oh my God, George Lucas is amazing.
Yeah.
If you didn't know the full body of work.
No, he's...
With Ron Paul, he goes, hey, let's get out of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
Well, good, I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's legalize weed.
Right.
All right, I like
that. Yeah.
You know, whatever he says, people
but
go,
like,
but then if you read his stuff, wants to pull out of NATO. He wants to get rid of the Federal Reserve.
Right,
he wants to get rid of the Department of Education.
Right.
He wants to ban abortions. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the things that go on with him.
There's nothing that he doesn't have the magical answer for.
But they're all, I think they like the first three, and then there's 12 below it where he's
just
crazy.
You know. Gas is too expensive. With Ron Paul, gas would be $1 a gallon. I mean, there's nothing that a Ron Paul supporter won't claim.
No, no, no.
That Ron Paul can't
solve. Well, it's with Donald Trump that gas would be...
Of course, Donald.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Donald would just buy all of our gas. That's the solution, Donald. Anyway, fuck politics. We're talking important shit today, like the best and worst shows of television in 2011, and that's really what we're
doing. I ain't gonna lie, my worst list is longer than my best list.
Well, that's fine, too. We'll get to that. I've rank-ordered my best list, and then my worst list. So we'll count down from 10. Kind of like we did Assholes of the Year, and we thank everyone that listened to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't listened to Assholes of the Year, go listen to that. What do you call that? It was a blockbuster. It was
a tour de force.
A tour de force.
Says Sean Edwards, Fox TV, Kansas
I can't
City.
Write those movie quotes. We're going to do our movie show probably next. The next one year will be our best and worst movies. And Corey and I were going over this website nominated, you know, the biggest asshole film critics.
Critic horrors,
yeah. And that was pretty great. So we'll probably work
that
in.
That was a great show. Critic horrors. Did you see that?
That's a good one. It was great.
Yeah.
It's on HBO late at night, right?
Yeah. Lisa Schwartzbaum does a DP.
Oh, my God.
With, you know, Uwe Boll and Michael Bay. She just takes them both on at the same time.
All right. Well, we're going to get into, let's do our best TV shows. Let's not get off on the wrong foot. It's a new year.
We were ever on the right foot?
Yeah, yeah. Come on. We're going to be nice to things and give things lots of credit and talk about how great things are.
And then we're going to rip the shit out of it.
And then we're going to talk about Two Broke Girls.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on.
Do you want to go in descending order? Start at 10 and work
start
our way
Start at 10
one.
And work away. Right, kind of like we did Assholes of the Year, so.
Good.
We'll start with 10. Do you want to start, or should I get it kicking off? What do you think, Corey?
I will defer to the second half. You go
All ahead. Right, I'm going to start with 10. And actually, this ties into Assholes of the Year, because this show was discussed in Assholes of the Year when I listed the producers of The Walking Dead as the Assholes of the Year, because they kind of ruined the show.
Yeah.
But I still like it, and so I have to give it credit as being good. And so, therefore, The Walking Dead on AMC is my number 10 best TV show of the year, even though... The first season actually aired, I think, in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So that might have been the number one show of 2010. I don't think we ever did it. Best TV of 2010. But that Walking Dead in 2010 was amazing.
Yeah.
it's dropped significantly. Therefore, it's going to end up here at number 10.
Well, there you go. This will shock my geek brethren out there. This will shock, shock all my homies at the comic book store. It's going to freak them out, but don't watch it.
Never, you've never seen a single episode.
Watch the pilot.
Oh, you watched the pilot.
I watched whatever the 2-hour premiere
was. It was good.
That was good.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't care less after that.
Yeah.
And I read some of the comic books.
Yeah.
It has diverged from the plot of the comics, I think, a little bit.
I'm sure it has.
I decided, just personally, that I don't care about zombies.
Yeah.
This is a decision I've made. Now, this is a direct result of having to watch zombie movies over and over and over a fucking again. And I've come to the conclusion, and I know this is ridiculous, considering I'll still watch a movie with a vampire or a werewolf or Frankenstein
right.
or Godzilla.
Sure.
I've come to the conclusion that zombies don't make any sense from a scientific perspective. And that obviously Godzilla doesn't make any sense from a scientific perspective.
Sure.
But to me, I can't get over the fact that zombies don't make any, that a zombie apocalypse would be a real problem for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then we would fix it. Right?
Do the zombies live forever? Like, they never really define
6 months. Yeah. And there's too many questions.
There is. Yeah.
There's a thing where every vampire show that ever happened, the True Blood comes out, and then any vampire movie has to change the rules.
Mm-hmm.
This is an inherent part of the genre.
Yeah.
In every vampire movie, in Blade, they'll come out and go, well, they're allergic to garlic. But crosses don't do anything.
Ah.
Right? They'll go silver affects their blood because they're hemophiliacs, and so the silver oxide. They make an attempt to explain something scientifically. Zombies, here's the basic bottom line. When a winter comes, there's no fucking zombies.
Yeah, that might be true.
Snowfall will kill a zombie, right?
They're not going to be able to walk through.
Well, it's a dead body.
Yeah.
It's going to freeze and break apart. That's science. I can't get over that. Wow. I know there's a magic that reanimates corpses, and I have to believe that.
Well, there's a debate on Walking Dead as to whether these are
plagues or zombies.
If it's infected people or it's really like dead people coming out of the ground like Night of the Living Dead where people rose from cemeteries. And I believe they're going with the former, but whatever. I mean, I get what you're saying. I think for a lot of people, Walking Dead sort of took zombies, which were sort of this B thing, and sort of put...
Elevated it, gave it
A-list production and that, and made it something that was more palatable
to the
general
public. But
you
say they screwed up the second season.
Well, the pacing was terrible, and everyone will tell you that. I mean, they spent literally 10 episodes. I mean, anyone that watches it...
You know what? That's the problem of episodic television.
They spent 10 episodes in a place where in season one, they would have spent like one.
Yeah.
And so they just could not get the, you know...
That is the number one problem with scripted episodic television.
Yeah.
Is that you got to go, oh, crap. We got to do this now? Wait, hold on. This is going to last. The best thing you can do if you have a TV show, and this works better with sitcoms, is have a simple premise that is... you can't be altered.
Sure, yeah.
Barney Miller. The premise is Barney Miller.
Yeah.
Ostensibly a one set show, right? It's that precinct.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe once in a while see in Barney's office, or maybe once in a while they go on the street. But what happens is these cops sit around in the booking section of the precinct, and crazy people come in and get booked, right?
Yeah.
And every episode is basically them just reacting to whoever comes in and gets booked on the docket that day or whatever the case of the day is. That's perfect. You can't mess with that formula.
Yeah.
When you got to have plotting about what's going to happen with the zombie apocalypse.
And there's an overreaching story. Then you got to
hit the pause button and go, you know, we're going to last for like another 20 episodes here, so we can't kill everybody off.
But then there's always those shows that claim like law. You know, we had this all plotted out from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Even like George Lucas said that with Star Wars, and it's like you fucking so full of
bullshit.
Shit. Yeah, you're so full of
Lost.
Shit.
They didn't know what was happening from episode to episode.
And Walking Dead may end up being like Lost, where like people loved it in the beginning and people hated it at the end. For me, it's hanging on to that fringes of the top 10. It's number 10 in my list, but.
X-Files pulled that crap, too, where they're like, it's all part of the same tapestry. You can clearly see on Fringe that they don't know what the hell's going on.
They don't know, they're writing that out.
Because if you watch a season one episode of Fringe and you watch a season... No, now they might know where the plot's going.
Sure, yeah.
But if you watch a season one and a season three episode of that, there's no correlation. You just go...
Right, in fact, I didn't even have Fringe on my list, but...
Yeah, Fringe.
I don't know if it would have. It would have made my top list probably two seasons ago, and not now.
Here's what happened with Fringe for me, and I know you probably did the same thing. I would tape Fringe every week and not watch it, and so my DVR got cluttered with Fringe episodes.
Oh, did you never finish season three?
No, and then we would.
And did you start season four?
And then sometimes I go, I need space because I got to tape this Jerry Lewis documentary, and I delete a bunch of Fringes, and then we'd watch them on demand.
Yeah,
but never finished Fringe.
Yeah, Fringe is good. I like Fringe. It's not in my top 10, but I do like it.
So. Well, here, you want my
number 10. Give me
let's
number
go in 10. A different direction.
Sure.
I'm going to go with the Onion News Network.
Onion? I've never seen that.
It is terrific.
All right.
If you like the Onion, if you enjoy the Onion vibe, and most people do.
Sure.
Most people who are...
If you like comedy.
Non-retards enjoy the Onion. The Onion News Network is the best version of... They had a sports show that didn't work very well.
Okay.
They do videos on the web. Those don't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pitch perfect, and I probably like this better because I watch news all the time. And I watch all the cable channels and I watch all the news, and it makes me insane.
No.
But I watch political coverage all day long. This is a dead on, balls out, nuts perfect. They rip Fox, they rip CNN, they rip all the stupid tabloid shows. MSNBC, all of the style of cable news is the joke at the heart of, and then there's funny jokes on top.
And they
of
hired like some hot bitch that was really on Fox News, right?
Yeah, and she's perfect.
Yeah.
She's
this is a real
dead
upload,
note, accurate.
Yeah.
It's all about her. She's really kind of mean.
Yeah.
Like they really nail that kind of persona of the Fox News hostess. And then the panel people who come on are like the pundits on every other show. Mm. It's really funny, really sharply written, good show.
Yeah, I haven't seen that show, really, but I've enjoyed some Onion. I think Our Dumb Century, their book, which was all their phony historical headlines, is one of the funniest books ever written.
Masterpiece. So
it's great, yeah.
We'll get a chance to watch the Onion News.
I haven't seen it. I'll have to watch that. Good suggestion.
It's a dead-on parody.
Okay. Well, I'm picking a show that's been on for a while, and we were having this debate about can you pick shows that have been on for a long time. Yeah. And I believe they just finished season 21 of this. Well, that's because they do two a year, but Survivor is my number nine show. And trust me, Survivor, all 21 wouldn't have made my top 10 for their respective year. But it was really good this past fall. This one that was just on was very, very good. And, you know, it's hard to... They've tweaked that so much. If you just watched... It's like if you watched just season one of Survivor and now you watch it, there's Redemption Island where you get voted out, but you really don't have to leave until you lose a challenge. And they've put some tweaks into it. There's hidden immunity idols all stashed all over the island.
Yeah.
And so they've tweaked it and made it, tried to make it more interesting. Sometimes that doesn't work, but what they nail is that they do cast good people. And the conflicts are usually very good between the players.
Yeah.
And that helps a reality show. And Survivor, I think, are the kings of that, of really getting the right people to make the show interesting. And it's still good, and the challenges are fun.
What, are they ever going to do Celebrity Survivor? Because
you know,
I think that's the only circumstance under which I would watch Survivor.
Well, but I think Survivor actually thinks they have some integrity because they've never done it. Well, actually, what they do on Survivor is now almost every season they bring back sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes four, sometimes half the cast will be former survivors, so they're sort of like their celebrities. So they'll do the All-Star
Survivor. So Russell
Survivor.
Comes back. Or
yeah, Russell.
Boston Rob.
Russell's been on twice. Boston Rob's been on three times or four times.
All I know of Survivor are the promos that run on Amazing Race.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Right.
Because I haven't watched Survivor in years. Right. Don't intend on it.
Can Ozzy survive another week on the island? Yes.
Who cares?
No, Survivor's very good. I've been into it. I've watched every episode of every season. And sometimes it's been a real challenge. But not this past season. This last fall was very good.
Now, you're going to hear stuff on my list later, and you go, it's the same show every week. And I'll go, it is. It's true. But with that particular show and with Big Brother, I did watch Survivor in the first early seasons. I watched the first three, four seasons of it. I just got to a point where I just didn't care. They're going to go somewhere tropical. They're going to sit on a beach. They're going to try and catch a crab with a stick. Somebody's going to pee on somebody. Some bitch isn't going to like somebody. An old guy is going to be better at it than somebody thinks he's going to be. There's going to be somebody who completely lies. Someone will probably tell someone they love them to try and get their vote. That'll break up because somebody else will detect it. I just know every angle on Survivor, and I don't care.
Okay.
Big Brother got to be the same thing.
Yeah, Big Brother is more repetitive. And again, Big Brother, I think, and all these shows, they come down to who's really on them, who they really cast, and the characters, and if you care about them. If you care about people, you'll watch them go through dumb shit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the rule for any of these reality shows.
Yeah.
And Survivor is casting good people. So that's my number nine. You can give your number nine now.
Go All right.
Corey's number nine.
Number nine, everybody. The big number nine.
Number nine. Number nine.
Oh, I'm going with the League on
number
FX.
Number nine. Number nine. Okay, explain what that is.
The League is a show about...
Not just... I know what it is.
Yeah.
I really kind of don't. I do, but...
It's a show about a fantasy football league.
Uh-huh.
And these guys, basically, they're ridiculous lives.
Okay.
The fantasy football kind of plays a... It's only really a loose way to connect them all together. There's some occasionally... And much like Big Bang Theory, they'll sprinkle in... They'll go, hey, do you think Marshawn Lynch is going to have a good game this week? Or... You got to get Peyton Hillis out of your lineup. He's got it twisted.
Is it done like real time? Is it done like as football is unraveling, or is it done ahead of time? How do they shoot
this? It ran. They must have shot it ahead of time, but they're pretty accurate in their.
Oh yeah.
Well, although sometimes some guy who's injured and isn't playing,
right, yeah,
they'll talk about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're fairly accurate in their.
They get the jargon right.
I think they shoot them close enough on schedule that it sounds. It's not going to be accurate week to week of like week 13.
Yeah,
you know, Drew Brees threw for 5 touchdowns. They're not that accurate, but the references are good enough. Okay. If you do play fantasy football, if you're an NFL fan, you'll get them.
Who runs this league? What's it on? What channel?
It's on FX.
Okay, FX.
But it's a funny show. It's a funny little. It's kind of in the territory of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Is it single camera laugh track?
Yeah, it's single.
No laugh track.
It's single camera.
No laugh track.
No laugh track.
Okay.
It's a good show, though. It's a funny show. If you're a fantasy football guy, like two-time defending champion.
Yeah, Corey's having his cup engraved as we speak.
My cup is at the engraver.
It's at the engraver. He's not fucking making that
up. I drove to the engraver to get my cup.
Corey is...
I wish we'd had a cup for the Corey and Joel
League.
Dead
serious, yeah.
Which I won and you
this
won.
This cheap league.
I think we both won.
This cheap show has no fucking... There's no fucking trophy on this show.
This is what's great about this. Yeah. The league I'm in.
Yeah.
They've had the cup since 99.
Yeah.
And I've only been in a few years and have won twice. And but we have like 10 years of prepaid engraving. Like they literally have a budget in this league. And like...
Well, that's...
And,
but do you all chip in to
Yeah, we all put in money. So,
okay,
yeah.
so that's paying.
We're
for
on
that.
CBS, which we have to like pay to be.
You
in
have
that
to
league,
pay to register.
Which
yeah.
I don't think it's any better than some of the other leagues. But
what did we play? We played ESPN. I think
we
usually.
Played ESPN.
All right. So that's good. The league.
The league is a funny show. I think you'd like it.
I told my girlfriend like we saw a promo for it. We were watching FX one night.
Yeah.
And I go, aren't you glad I don't watch that? Because then she'd have to watch it, and it's about
you know
football,
what. Honestly, it's not really about football. Like I said, the football.
Does your girlfriend watch it?
Yeah, she's watching with me. It's mostly about these guys interacting, you know, and their wives and their girlfriends and all the nutty stuff they do.
Yeah,
but there's generally a little football element in the back. It's like a sprinkle on a topping. You know, it's not them sitting in a room every week eating nachos and arguing about football, but.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
I've heard that's good, but I never saw. Okay, here's another show that's been on forever, but number eight, I'm breaking the scripted format here and going, actually, Survivor wasn't scripted either. But here's a show that's very good, and I think you're still watching. Maybe you didn't consider it, Corey, but Mythbusters
is my
number eight show.
But see, Mythbusters is an evergreen.
Yeah, I get that.
Sure.
Now, listen, I don't know anything about this cannonball that went through a couple of houses, but I don't know jack shit about that, but I do know... That I like the show. I mean, ultimately, a part of the if Mythbusters has an issue is that it does just become about blowing shit up at some point, which I think it's boring. But the actual they did a special on should you switch doors on Let's Make a Deal when Monty Hall shows you that you didn't win and then you have the choice.
So you just
to switch.
Stay with door number two.
Do you stay with the door you picked or do you switch? Hmm. And they did a whole show on that, and that didn't involve anything blowing up, and it was interesting.
Right.
It's about statistics, and sometimes that's as interesting as can you boil water with C4?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm never going to be around C4. It has no relation to my life.
I saw that one, but
but I'm saying like to me, it's not as interesting.
Well, that was actually interesting though, because I didn't know you could burn C4.
Yeah, so
essentially that was cool,
right? But I mean, I don't know anything about C4. I mean, sometimes they're trying to bust movie myths and that stuff like that. Sometimes I find Mythbusters in its simplicity. Is more interesting than, can you get cement out of a truck with dynamite?
I'm less interested in the driving myths on that show a lot of the times.
Okay, yeah.
But then they'll do stuff like they did one where they built Batman's grapple hook.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it actually worked.
The Batmobile, yeah.
And, I mean, they couldn't get it quite... well, no, they built the rig that pulls him up.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
like
in the
Batman movies.
But I think they also did it in the movie, from the Batmobile.
They did
too.
The Batmobile where they tried to make the Bat turn, we know the wonderful comedy of Tim Walco. Bat turn, one of them 12, pay the man. That was an old fixture on the old show. But no, like Jamie actually built, Adam built the thing that shot in the wall, and that kind of worked.
Yeah.
But once they got the cable up, he could ride up and down on this small little motor thing. That was cool.
Yeah.
So you do Mythbusters always good. I don't know, but the problem with Mythbusters, I don't know what season it's from. I don't know. I could be watching one from 2008.
I have my DVR set to just record all new ones.
Right.
And like it'll come on in the middle of summer and get five new ones,
uh-huh.
and then nothing for 6 months, and then it'll get another bunch of new ones. And
the only clues you have, the only visual clues you have on that show, mm-hmm. on what year it's from. Is maybe Carrie's haircut.
If she was pregnant or
the pregnancy,
baby, post baby weight.
But you know what? She didn't really look any different after the baby.
She looks hot now. I'll tell you, she looks great now. But she was chubbier in the early ones, and now she's thinner. And...
There are some people who haven't been on the show the whole time.
Right, they switched up the build team.
Scotty comes in every
Scotty
now and then.
Left, and Grant brought,
but
was brought
I swear
in.
To God, that damn Jamie with his walrus mustache and his beret.
Jamie looks, Adam looks kind of different. Adam looks much older now than he used to.
Right, Jamie wore the same outfit for about 6 years. Now you'll see him occasionally wear a different shirt.
No, I think he always wears a white shirt and a black beret.
I've seen him in a different shirt a couple times. Once or twice.
All right.
But no, it's almost always the same beret. He's got those stupid wraparound sunglasses that he wears when he goes outside.
Right.
And Jamie, Adam fluctuates in weight and age. And
yeah, Adam's hair looks different.
Adam's beard and everything looks different.
His beard's all grayed
out.
Mythbusters is still good, and I think you agree. Sorry. You can give me a number eight.
Number eight, Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
This is a cheesy, horrible, awful show. But it's fucking gripping.
Well, okay.
All right. I know you preferred American Inventor.
Which was sort of Shark Tank was a British show. Let's explain. It was a British show, right? Yeah,
well, there's a Canadian. Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Den was maybe that what it was called.
Dragon's Den. And then there's like a Canadian version of Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
So two of the guys are from the Canadian version of Dragon's Den.
Okay.
And they made it Shark Tank here.
Right.
American Inventor was a very similar mm-hmm. concept, except American Inventor tended to lean towards altruism.
Yeah.
And
heartwarming stories of...
So a guy came in one week and went, I have an angel that puts out fires on Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, you
He came
won.
On
yeah.
episode two, and you knew he was going to win. Uh-huh. They were going to go... Of course, they're going to give money to a guy who's going to save lives.
I wanted the sandbag shovel guy to win, but... Yeah. He spent all of his developed money going shopping for suits. I love that.
Wasn't there a guy who had a thing where you could pee on the golf course? You pee into the bag or something?
There might have been. Did he win anything?
Yeah, I think that exists.
I don't know. I gave up on that, and I certainly don't watch Shark Tank. Well, but it is good. I've been on some level.
But here's what's good about Shark Tank. I've actually seen products on Shark Tank in store shelves.
No.
There was, we thought it was stupid at the time when my boo and I watched it.
Yeah.
The guy had individual, like, wine. They were, like, the size of Coke cans.
Okay.
They were, like, individual plastic bottles of wine mm-hmm. that had a sealable lid on them.
Okay.
And he was selling those.
Hmm.
And you could buy a case of them, like a six-pack.
Did you, like, pour the bottle of wine into those, or did you, the wine came
the
in
The wine
those?
Came in those.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a six-pack.
Yeah.
So you could buy a six-pack of wine and then pour a glass of it. I saw that on the shelves at a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
That's what's cool about Shark Tank. And
well, it's the guys, the panel is a bunch of people that are giving money to them.
Yes.
They're investors in the, and they trade money for a percentage, ultimately. Isn't that how it works? Usually they say, we'll give you $50,000 for 10% of that.
Right. The people ask for a certain quota of investment.
Yeah.
They'll say, I need $100,000 for 35% equity in the company.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, I want 48% of the income or 50% of the company.
But you sign with the individual member of the panel,
yes.
or they can team up and you can sign with two of them or something.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't one of the guys the FUBU guy or something? Or
yes, the founder of FUBU, the guy Damon. So you have an apparel expert.
Yeah.
So he's there for clothing. Mm-hmm. One of them's a real estate woman.
Yeah.
Actually, there are probably two real estate people.
Okay.
And then there's Cuban comes on there.
Cuban.
Yeah, Mark Cuban comes on. Cuban just will outbid everybody and spend
Cuban's
more money.
Like...
He'll overpay to get everyone out of his way. Mark Cuban comes on there. And then there's a guy who's like a expert in telemarketing.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that.
So, you know, it depends on what your product is. One guy could help you more than the other.
I think this is a show that's one of those things that, is it buried on like Friday night ABC? Or it's somewhere where it's hard to find?
Yeah, although
something?
I think during the summer they reran it like
it's sort of,
Sunday night.
Is it sort of summer television? Is it like fill in sort of?
Although it's coming back in the
summer program,
in the winter. So.
Oh. Okay.
It was a big hit for ABC, and they don't have a lot of those.
So. Shark Tank. Okay.
There you go.
Not like I said, I don't see that. I've seen it, and I enjoyed it, but I don't tune it in regularly. So anyway, Here's a show you've probably never seen one goddamn episode of. Game of Thrones on HBO is my
not an episode. I don't pay for HBO.
Yeah, you don't pay for HBO, but
I cable bills through the roof already.
Yeah,
thanks to Red Zone.
That is part of what. I think that is the bone of cable, is the channel that most people, if they got it, they would love.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, you're already spending $200 and not getting HBO.
Right.
That's baffling to me.
I'm going to spend $250 a month for cable.
Well, HBO's $10 probably a month.
But it's just the principle that I have to pay more.
It's the principle that it's more.
All right, I got to pay for Xbox Live. I got to pay.
Yeah, it's nickel and diming you. Yeah.
For cable. I got to pay for all this crap. Uh-huh. I got to pay for Sirius.
Yeah.
I'm getting $10 and $12
a
month.
You're paying for internet, yeah.
I'm getting $10 and $12
that's what it
to
is.
Death.
Yeah.
And
get your Netflix on.
My gym membership.
Yeah.
I'm getting. Yeah. Your pinches, they're it stealing is. All my money.
Right.
So HBO can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
I'll go watch. If it's really great, if somebody goes, Bored to Death will change your life, and or Jenny Slate's topless in it or something.
Okay.
I'll go, or, you know, but that's what they have Mr. Skin for. I see all the broads that are unhung.
Well, listen.
They go, look at all these broads that get naked unhung. Listen, I see it on
Mr.
Skin.
Let me tell you
Skin.
About hung. I'm on hung, and I couldn't watch that fucking show. Right. I tried to get through the episode that I was in. I couldn't even find the fucking thing. I watched the whole series on demand.
I loved Deadwood. Mm-hmm. There were shows I've loved on HBO when I used to have it. But I just got to the point, and we had Showtime. Mm-hmm. But I got to the point where I said,
Well,
I could eat a better meal a month.
That's true. But
then for what I'm paying.
But my point is that the cable company, if you got rid of my Food Network and my Wii TV and the Oprah Network, and you took all this shit away, maybe they could throw HBO in. It's just, it's baffling that it's still like,
I have,
they put it on that tier and it's not.
I have 15 religious channels.
Exactly.
This is the problem. The cable company, they're occasionally every now and then, some do get a congressman. Mm-hmm. Somebody in, you know, some congressman in Massachusetts or whatever will go, hey, we need to have an a la carte bill.
Cable will be a la carte with Ron Paul, just so you know.
Yes, Ron.
Yeah, Ron Paul will make it a la carte.
Ron Paul, if Obama had offered a la carte cable, maybe he would get more votes this time.
It's a la carte under Ron Paul.
I believe we will have a la carte cable. He should. I'm not going to do my bad Obama impression, but what I'm saying is every now and then somebody goes, well, we need to have a la carte cable. Mm-hmm. A la carte cable would make the biggest difference. So many companies would fold.
Okay.
Here's what makes cable expensive, and you know exactly what makes cable expensive.
What's that?
Bristol, Connecticut, the world leader in sports.
Yeah, it's about $6 a month, I think, is ESPN.
The insanity of the... But you can't get rid of ESPN.
You can't, yeah. You have to
Even if
it.
You went, fuck you, I don't want ESPN. But the problem is...
I read an article that said some cable companies may start offering a no ESPN
package,
yeah.
Because the insanity of... The NFL Network also costs you a pretty penny.
Yeah,
and I have Red Zone on top of that.
And you're paying extra for that. As I
and
am.
By the way, Red Zone I did not include on my list, but is one of the best things.
It is great. Yeah, Red Zone.
If you're a football fan, what they do, they have whip around coverage of every game.
Right.
So if you're watching the Lions game and it goes to a timeout or a halftime, you can flip over and watch.
Red Zone's tremendous. I can't say enough.
And you could go, oh, it's the Raiders and the Cardinals. And if you're playing fantasy, it's a must-have.
Yeah.
Because then you can actually really evaluate the players. Mm-hmm. Sometimes guys will play fantasy, but you never see, you know.
Yeah.
There's teams you never see, like the Seahawks. How many times a year are they on?
On national television, never.
Almost never. Yeah. But if you have Red Zone, you can sit there and watch Marshawn Lynch play and go, hey, I know I'm going to pick him up. Or you can watch whoever. I've named him twice because he won my league for me. But, you know what I mean? You could go, you know. Hey, what about the Chargers receivers? Are they any good? Or is Demaryius Thomas any good for the Broncos? It's great.
Red Zone's great. I agree with you on that. But
it costs a bundle.
Yeah. One quick thing about cable. You know, the reason why you have 200 channels? Because to me, I'm sort of making this argument, which really doesn't even count, but that if you get rid of a bunch of channels. People could afford HBO. The thing is, a lot of those channels really don't cost any money.
Right.
In other words, they're given free to the cable companies.
But the cable company doesn't feel that way. They charge you for them.
They charge me when they add them, but they actually don't cost the cable companies anything because they survive on advertising. Mm-hmm. In the case of those religious channels that you hate, yeah, they're all getting money from people calling into their 800 number and donating, pledging money.
If I had a la carte tomorrow, I would never see Pat Robertson again.
Right.
Every religious channel. Right.
Everyone would get rid of QVC. Everyone would get rid of HSN and stuff like that. But those, again, are not adding to your bill. And that's right, what people don't seem to understand about.
Some of them are adding to your bill.
Some of them are, but not much.
Well, okay. Look at it this way. I have digital cable, and I've got like digital preferred or whatever. Yeah. And I have 300 channels. Mm-hmm. I'm scrolling through the other day, and there's like 8 to 10 8 to 10 Espanol channels.
I have those.
See,
well,
in Espanol. Yeah. And you get Univision.
Yeah.
And then you might get, you know, one other one.
Right.
Right?
Well, I usually get Galavision, Univision. Right.
But I don't even get Galavision. Right. I think I get Univision and
Telemundo.
Right. I get Telemundo and Univision, but not Galavision.
Not Galavision.
Whichever one has the Lucha Libre, I don't get.
That's probably, you don't have
the one I'd watch.
You don't have Galavision then, I think.
You know what I mean?
The Lucha.
Right?
Yeah.
There's like, but there's 10 other Spanish channels.
Right.
There's like a Peliculas. There's like a movie channel. And Amy was like, why are there all these Spanish channels we don't even get?
Yeah.
There's like Japanese channels. There's all these stuff on the cable package.
And they want you to pay for those too.
Who's paying for that tier?
Some guy, yeah.
Do wetbacks have money to pay extra for this cable?
Let me get to Game of Thrones. Enough of your... All right.
I'm just saying. Why put the Spanish stuff on a tier where guys are already lucky? They're stealing cable, let's be honest. So maybe they're stealing that, but come on.
Game of Thrones is great. It's fantasy. George R. R. Martin's writings. Apparently people love
jokes,
the books. People, I know.
I know Mexican guys don't have cable. Come on.
No, it's easy to afford the cable bill when 50 people live in your house.
Yay! Ho! All right.
Let me join in the racism, but here we go. Game of Thrones is a very, you know, it's based on a lot of fantasy. There's Tolkien in it. You know, there's all the classic mythology and fantasy stuff in it. I found it a little difficult to follow at times because there's literally 30 main characters in Game of Thrones.
I am really kind of surprised you like this show because...
Why?
You don't like any other fantasy stuff.
Oh, I own the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah,
in the deluxe version on DVD. I don't read a lot of it. I like the movies of it. And this really was very novelistic, very dense. A lot of characters, but a lot of good actors in it. Who's the midget guy? That's great. Peter, Who's the midget? Tremendous, this guy.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. Tremendous. Sean Bean.
By the
tremendous.
Way, Peter Dinklage is the top midget.
Oh, absolutely.
If there was a show called Top Midget.
There's not one on Bravo yet? Top Midget?
There's not a Top Midget.
We'll get to that on my worst list. Uh-huh. But, Peter Dinklage, great. Sean Bean was great on this season of it. Who's the other guy? Who's the fat guy who played Fred Flintstone? He's on it, the British
Mark
guy.
Addy.
Mark Addy was on this. I mean, but here's the thing. They've killed many, many lead characters on this show, which is weird. But I guess in the books they do, so they're just going to restock it. And the guy who played Conan the Barbarian led a in the new Conan.
Jason Momoa. Why do I know this stuff?
He's in it. He was great. So there's a lot of cool stuff. It's done to the quality of a feature film. It's done that well.
Let me ask you a question.
And that adds a lot. Yeah.
Let me ask an important question.
Sure.
Are there titties?
Absolutely.
All right, good. All right. Hey, all right, you sold me. If there's dragons and titties,
I guess
I have to
titties,
watch it.
Dragons, barbarians, lots of scheming, kings being overthrown, peasants.
Well, basically what they did is they took the approach of like a Sopranos and just applied it to a fantasy world.
A little bit. I mean, as far as the television thing, but it's. I'll tell you, man, when you watch it, it's like, it's one of those things that transcends television because it looks like you're watching a feature film. It's amazing looking.
I think with the formula for these HBO shows, the ones like they go... What we do is we basically set up a drama, we get interesting characters and have them conflict, and it can work in any genre.
Yeah, a little
bit. You say Deadwood. It's, you know, in the... It's in the South. It's in the Black Hills in the 1890s.
But,
or then we go to Boardwalk Empire. It's kind of like there's a template that they have. Like,
a little
Sopranos.
Bit. Game of Thrones separates itself, though, in its setting to where, those things exist, but it's literally not, it's not for dummies. Uh-huh. Like, dummies, I think, could enjoy Sopranos and stuff. Sure. I don't think dummies can enjoy
That's how
Game
I felt watching
Thrones.
Deadwood, is that it was on a higher level of, it
yeah,
was
this
smarter.
Yeah, this is, I never saw Deadwood, but
the
Game
Wire.
Of Thrones is, Game of Thrones is you need to pay attention, and you need to know what's going on. And yeah, there's weird shit that is visually cool, but if you don't understand the story, you're kind of lost, and you need to pay attention.
I watched The Wire was like that. It was a very novelistic in that it was rich and had backstories, and I would miss stuff, and I'd watch the show every week and still go, what exactly were they talking about?
Game of
there?
Thrones doesn't hold your hand like a lot of these shows, and it makes it even better. So go watch Game of Thrones, everybody, if you haven't. Right. I think they're finally releasing that on Blu-ray and DVD soon, like in the next month or so. So if you haven't seen it, the season two comes on in April. So give me a number 7, Corey.
Well, this is going to stop the show dead right here. This is a controversial choice.
It's been nice doing radio with
you. This is going to
I'm going to hit you with peanut butter M&Ms.
There'll be a fight.
There's a buckshot of peanut butter M&Ms heading towards your head.
The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson in Paris.
In Paris.
That's going to start a fight.
Wait a minute. You're not just picking the Late Late Show with Greg Ferguson. You're picking...
Specifically picking the week that he did in Paris.
Oh, fuck. All right. And explain what was great about that.
It was like nothing on television. It broke every rule of logic.
Because they would never put anything like that on television.
It was the most slapdash, haphazard, weird, kind of off-the-cuff... And I loved it because it was not like television.
Well,
Ferguson really does. He acts like he's trying to break the rules of television all the time. But if you watch that show, he does the same stuff every night.
Right.
Like he is a framework in which he can look extemporaneous because he just whiffs stuff off the cuff. But the show, whatever, there's beats, there's patterns. Mm-hmm. The Late Show in Paris was wild and wacky and. It was him and Eddie Izzard and Kristen Bell walking around MoMA and just like looking at shops.
Yeah, it was a weird travel log. It was not even like a show. Like it had no format at all. It was bizarre.
And that's why he went down in a wine cellar in a Dracula cape. It made no sense. Mm-hmm. The robot was there. He'd do bits like Michael Caine in a spacesuit walking around Paris. Made no sense at all, but that's what I liked about it. It was refreshing. I didn't know what I was looking at, and whenever television breaks its own rules,
right.
This is why I liked, when I was a kid, I loved the Letterman show.
Right, yeah.
There was a sense of, and this is what Saturday Night Live once had, doesn't have anymore, a sense of unpredictability. Yeah. And I felt that watching the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
I'll give him credit for, you know, breaking the rules and stuff on this, but the ones that I tried to watch, I don't know if I watched two of them or three of them, but I watched more than one of the Paris shows.
Yeah.
Because I think the first time I saw it, I went like, they can't all be this bad. And then I turned it in again, and I was like, I mean, look, for the substance, I could not agree with that. But for the approach in that, I see what you're saying. So
I'm not going to sit here and say
I'm not going to completely fight you on Ferguson.
I'm not going to say every minute of it was brilliant, but it was interesting the whole time. I was like, where is this going? What's he going to do with this?
Right.
A lot of times it was just him walking around the Champs-Élysées or whatever. And did you see where he ate dinner with Jean Reno?
I did not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Jean Reno doesn't act like a guy on American television.
All right.
Jean Reno got on there and had like a series. But what happens with Ferguson every now and then, it's most of the time, it's dick jokes and farty-farty and winky-winky, cheeky-cheeky, and Secretariat runs around. And it's his show is kind of hacky in a way, and intentionally hacky. But then sometimes he'll get into real conversations with people, and it's totally different from other talk shows.
I think he took Kristen Bell shopping for Louboutin shoes or something, and I was like, what is this television?
Kristen Bell was there the whole time with him, and I think he's I think he's diddling.
That one, duh.
But they went up to the Eiffel Tower and looked around, and nothing happened in a logical way, and that's what I loved about it. It was fun, and his show does that kind of some nights where he had Desmond Tutu on for an hour. He'll just do random stuff like that.
You know, you can get away with a lot at 12:30, and
because he thinks no one's paying attention.
He does. Okay, my number 6 show of best television for 2011 is my first sitcom of the list. There'll be at least two more sitcoms, I guess. But anyway, How I Met Your Mother is a number six show. Again, you and Corey shaking
we
his
really,
head.
There's shows we hate that you like and I hate.
I don't think you've even given this show a chance.
I have.
I think you tune by and you see, you know,
right.
You see Ted walking around with his head in his hands because he got dumped by some chick. And you think it's boring and all that stuff, all right. But it really is a quality show.
No, see,
it's well written and well acted, and
you aren't interested in Shark Tank, but I am.
Okay, but the show has reinvented itself. I mean, I watch a lot of these and it's funny because it's on a night, the Monday 8 o'clock CBS, the CBS Monday night lineup, which is really some of the worst, goddamn, awful, shittiest shit sitcom stuff you'll see, and we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But this show is good. I like this show. I mean, I don't want to say I don't want to say it's Apatow television because he has nothing to do with it. And I think that Apatow's approach is different. This is more traditional sitcom, but it is in that Three's Company mold,
right,
that I liked. And I liked Friends, at least some of the Friends that was on. Not by the end. I couldn't watch Friends with, you know, my eyes fucking jacked open. but Friends had its moments where it was charming and entertaining. How I Met Your Mother gets a laugh. It consistently makes me laugh, and it's been on for a long time, and I like it, and the characters are likable, and there's some hot pussy on there. And
never made me laugh once. I don't care about clothed women on television.
Oh, boy.
Could not give a crap.
Okay.
Neil Patrick Harris is awful on that show.
He's tremendous.
He's dreadful.
He's terrific.
The guy who's playing the Bob Saget character couldn't hold Gutenberg's job.
Yeah. Yeah, what's
he
his
is
name?
The worst. That guy is all. I mean,
Josh Radnor is the.
Thank
who
you.
That is.
Jason Biggs looks at him and goes, "I am a great actor."
Jason Segel's good on there.
He's not.
I mean, look, he's better in his movies. Allison Hannigan is good on there.
Yeah, Jason Segel is so much better in other stuff.
Jason Segel is better in other stuff. But
Allison Hannigan and Jason Segel sit there every week and go, "Do you have a paycheck yet?"
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
What do we have to do to get this paycheck? Let's pretend we're on a set. There's not one nanosecond of reality on that show.
I mean,
it
is stage bound. It's not single camera. It's
all
not
right.
Done in a lot of the way that smart sitcoms are done, but it works within those constraints.
I don't find it funny. I find the Willie Ames act. That's what Neil Patrick Harris is doing. Charles, I got a couple stewardesses in the closet.
No, that's not at all what
he's
doing.
I'm a caddish.
First of all, the guy on New Girl, what's his name? Schmidt, is a direct ripoff of the Neil Patrick Harris.
Of the Williams
character. Neil Patrick Harris on How I Met Your Mother. It's the exact
thing. That show
did
not make my top 10 list.
Okay, it didn't make my top 10 list
but
either.
But I have...
It's charmed me once or twice.
I'm giving it a little time.
Yeah, I've been ready to give up. They did one episode. I was ready to throw my television out the fucking window.
But, I am giving that a little time.
Yeah, New Girl. But okay. How I Met Your Mother is better than you think it is, and I there's no way of changing your mind now, but it is better than you
Speaking
think.
Speaking of New Girl, there's another show.
They played Pavement on that show.
Well,
there you go.
Well, goddamn.
That's an endorsement right there.
Well, okay. You don't like Big Bang Theory.
I don't.
I find Big Bang Theory to be amusing from time to time.
Okay.
It's watchable for me. I can sit there and watch it, even though it is a Chuck Lorre comedy.
Yeah.
The other Chuck Lorre comedies, I would literally rather have Adam Sandler rape me with a barbed wire dildo while, you know, listening to Mannheim Steamroller.
Corey, rather fuck Jack and Jill than
I would. Yeah. No, I would rather fuck CC Dynamite than fuck. I would.
No one knows.
No, that's true.
But yeah, okay. I mean.
How much bleach would you have to put on your dick after that? Look.
Are you saying you're picking
No,
Big
I'm not
Bang
picking.
Theory,
no,
but,
I'm not picking okay, Big Bang Theory because it's actually gotten it's declined.
Okay.
It's gotten a little broader and a little sillier every season.
Mm-hmm.
To which you're like it's really just sort of a setup punchline bubble.
Yeah.
But the actors are a little more skilled.
Okay.
There's a show I know that's on your list that does almost the same thing as Big Bang Theory in that almost everything's a setup for a punchline. But the people on your worst list.
I'm my worst list. Oh, yeah. Okay,
but the people the people on that show can't act.
Yeah, yeah.
The people on Big Bang are pretty good at comedy delivery. Mm. They're, you know what I mean? They're dialed in.
Yeah,
their characters.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Kaley Cuoco doesn't have a lot to do other than sit there and look cute and go.
I see. I've watched that show. My girlfriend likes it, and I don't like it. I watch it, and I try to like it.
One,
I
the nerd references
don't like
are on point.
Okay.
They're, okay. Although, here's what's funny on that show. It's on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Warner produced show.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a comic book store, only DC products.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, how much cred can you have on that one?
There's almost never Marvel stuff in that comic book store. I've noticed that.
All right. Give me a six.
Give me a six. A bouncy six. This show flirted with disaster, flirted with worst. The first couple episodes of this season were bad.
I'm ready to start writing it.
Now it's hanging by a hair. It's hanging by an ass hair from Oblivion Community.
Oh, that's not what I thought.
Number six, it's a good show on merit, on whole.
Okay.
There are certain characters the Dean can go jump off a cliff.
I don't know who the Dean is.
They did a whole episode where the Dean is really annoying.
Yeah.
He's a closeted gay man who's really mm-hmm. super fussy. And they did a whole episode where the Dean, they were shooting a commercial for the school. Because mm-hmm. they'd been running the same commercial since 1987. So they got a budget to update the, and then the Dean shot a commercial and it turned into Apocalypse Now. And then they had a guy taping the Dean shooting Apocalypse Now because he said, Apocalypse Now, what was the documentary?
Oh, Hearts of Darkness.
He's like, Hearts of Darkness is better than Apocalypse Now. So I'm going to tape him having the freak out. Okay. And so it was very,
okay, yeah.
This show has a lot of references on top of each other that are layered. On some shows, they just will go, blah, 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 reference. What's the one with Casey Wilson?
Oh, what is that called? Happy Endings?
Happy Endings. On Happy Endings, a bunch of young, pretty people who like to fuck and drink will sit there and go, much like in a Quentin Tarantino movie, they'll go, well, look at you. You're like Zatoichi, the blind swordsman. You know?
Right, yeah.
Right? Wow, you're cracking quips like Nick Bakay on the first season of the Dennis Miller Show. Like, they'll make references to, you know what I mean? They'll go,
right.
You know, Smokey and the Bandit 3.
By the way,
really
Happy Endings, really, that female cast is just all bangable from top to bottom.
Right. But is Elijah Dushku going to make a reference to Jerry Reed from Smokey and the Bandit? Is that ever happening?
It's not Elijah Dushku, is it?
Elijah Cuthbert.
Elijah Cope.
Cuthbert.
Oh, Cuthbert is on there, yeah. And that's the other girl. The other girl was on Flight of the Conchords.
Excuse me, I get the
Cuthbert, yeah.
Cuthbert.
Yeah, Cuthbert's real
it's
hot.
It's Casey Wilson who was on Wilson, real SNL. Doable. What's great is...
And the other chick was on Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, okay.
She did a guest spot on there. She's cute, too.
Well, you know what's great is they switch black guys with the new girl.
Yeah, they did. The black guy from
Damon Wayans Jr. Was on the pilot of New Girl.
Okay.
And then they swapped it, and he went and did the other show. Mm-hmm. And then the New Girl brought in another
Tell
black
us
guy.
How hot the chicks on Community is so we can move along.
Allison Brie.
I know, that's
smoking hot. And then the other one, Jillian Jacobs.
Yeah.
Good, too.
Yeah, Jillian Jacobs is the actual hot chick on the show.
The blonde. Well,
but then Allison Brie, everyone wants to fuck, too, but not on the show. Is that the way it works?
No, they kind of want to
fuck. They do want to fuck her
She's
on the show,
a good
too?
Girl on the show.
Yeah, okay.
But she had a thing with... what's his name?
Joel. Okay,
yeah.
Anyway. Community, I've tried watching that. I get why people like it. It doesn't work for me. And, I don't hate it by any means. And I think this is going to be a show like a Freaks and Geeks where, or, you know, what's the other one that everyone loves?
Undeclared?
No, the other one with the Ron Howard show.
Arrested Development?
Arrested Development, where it's going to go away and everyone's going to go like, sure. Oh, man, I love that, blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, this doesn't work for most people, and I don't know that it's going to make it.
It is.
But it's going to launch the careers of the black guy, what is his name, Glover, and it's going to...
Donald Glover,
Donald, the black Glover.
The black Glover.
The black, not Danny, but the other black Glover. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of those shows where, oh, he was on that, and he
Chevy
was on
Chase,
that, and he was on that, and he was on that, and it's going to be this thing.
Well,
but ultimately, to me, the show doesn't work.
It doesn't even work for me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It occasionally will do things that are very annoying. Yeah. It'll go... Hey, we're being meta, and they'll kind of point a big neon arrow at how meta they're being.
Yeah.
Whereas instead of, and then at other times, it'll make a little reference and do something in a clever way.
I saw them do a musical episode, and I just had to turn it off.
Well, you ever seen the show Spaced?
Yeah, I know Spaced, yeah.
It's like,
right.
The best episodes of Community work like Spaced.
And then, but one time I was watching it, they were firing jokes so fast,
yes.
And there's no laugh track, and there's no pause, and it's like, whenever they read these lines, they just chopped it all together,
right.
And where there's no, the characters aren't even taking breaths. I mean, they're literally talking like this, like, say here, right, Corey? They're just talking like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just like,
it's antically paced. It's very quick.
It's crazy.
Hey, I don't know. Well, one, there's the guy who's autistic, and he talks like this.
Yeah.
And so that's how he talks.
Yeah.
But
But it's like everything that's coming out of the mouth is hilarious, but they don't even have time to think of what they're saying. It's just bizarre.
Well, that's the problem with happy endings is that it sounds overwritten. Yeah, it's like they got a lot of comedy writers.
That might be it.
And hot chicks sit around and make wacky jokes that are, you know what I mean? They're making jokes that our friends who are stand-up comics would make.
Right, yeah.
But it's not coming out of her mouth, right?
And it's not something that a stand-up comic sat in his room for an hour to write either, which is how long it would have taken. It's something somebody's saying spontaneously.
You know, and that annoys me no fucking end. It makes me nuts. On Friends, you had a wisecracker, mm-hmm. right? You had Chandler was the wisecracker.
Sure.
Right? He would come in and make the wacky comment. But, like, the other people had personalities that were, you know what I mean?
Community's eight guys that are all acting like the smart
same,
ass.
The same thing with stupid happy endings.
Yeah.
They all have the same voice.
It's 10 smart asses.
It's like a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Friends, actually, I will stand up for it in that, you know, Phoebe was a dummy and she stayed in that character.
And that's the way it should be. Okay, so Community, but Corey's still enjoying it. He's still in his top 10.
The highs of Community are just enough to keep it in Alison Brie is spankable.
And it's
all day long, every day.
And it was just better than Craig Ferguson.
It was.
It was just a notch above that. Okay, all right. Let me pick number 5. You didn't watch this, but boy, I know people that listened watch this. And God, this was probably... This, I think, was the angriest people ever got at a television show for 2011. And the finale of this was one thing just infuriated everybody.
The Killing?
The Killing. Yeah. And I enjoyed this season immensely. They basically said, let's take a police procedural and just stretch it out for a season. And it, you know what? And it fucking worked because the characters are great. The acting is great. The actual mystery had lots of different layers, and it really was a very well done. You know, it's based on a, I guess a Swedish show. Where does the dragon tattoo come from? Is that Sweden?
Yeah,
right? Yeah, because it's like in that vein of Sweden is now producing these great mystery stories. Now they're all coming out of Sweden. That's the trend.
It's a mystery how anything got out of Sweden.
That's the trend though, because you had Insomnia, then you had this. Dragon Tattoo Trilogy. There's some other series of books from Sweden that are great. And The Killing was a Swedish television show that they imported to America, put it on AMC, and it was great too. The guy on that, Joel Kinnaman, I forget what his the one of the detectives. Mm-hmm. He played this American lowlife cop, and this guy is like from Sweden or something, and he did a great job. Well, you would never know he wasn't from here.
You know, Stellan Skarsgård got too old, and so he can't play everybody from Iceland.
This guy.
Remember how Stellan Skarsgård was every Scandinavian guy for a long time?
Yeah, but Joel Kinnaman. No, Joel Kinnaman's American. It's set in Seattle. That's what I mean. The show is not based in Sweden or anything. But The Killing, and you know, by the end of it, people were really annoyed because literally they wrapped up the killing. They solved the murder.
Mm-hmm.
And literally before the credits roll, there's like a 30-second scene that kind of takes the first season, rolls it up into a ball, and throws it into the garbage can. It was really a baffling turn, but some people said that what happened was they thought the show was going to get canceled after season one, so they made a nice, clean cut finish for season one, and then when they got renewed for season two, they had to tack kind of an extra scene on to stretch the drama out for another season. That's the theory. The producers deny it, but The Killing was very, very well done, and I enjoyed it. So
that is very risky with a show, and sometimes shows break their format.
Yeah,
Weeds went downhill when they broke the format of they burnt down the town where she was selling weed.
Now she's in an RV or something.
Yeah,
right?
now she's traveling around the country selling weed. Yeah. You break faith. So if you have a mystery show and there's one central mystery, you solve that mystery and everybody goes, Twin Peaks had that problem.
Yeah, that's what people compared it to a lot.
There was no way a guy was going to spend 3 years trying to solve this crime. Mm-hmm. You know, the FBI had other shit to do, but he sat there and tried to solve the Laura Palmer case, which didn't have any other repercussions to anything outside of it. Enough about Twin Peaks. But that's a problem you take when you have a show like that. I like that they did resolve the crime.
Yeah.
And that next year they'll have to do something else.
Well, no, they really didn't. They did, and then they said...
They left it open.
And then they left it open. Like, they closed the door and then opened it. But, Corey, literally, if this was a movie, people would be putting their coats on. Yeah. Literally walking out the theater, and they go, oh, by the way, all that shit you just saw might have not... It was really
You know what? That happens
ending.
In movies.
It was really a weird ending.
So I've seen movies where they put a stinger on the very end, and it changes the whole thing.
Well, Inception with the top a little bit was sort of like that. But, I mean, I loved Inception. Killing just upset people because they invested so much. Uh-huh. And, it kind of felt like the show was dishonest. We'll see where they go in season
two. And again, it's another AMC show, and I should probably be watching it.
Yeah, it's good. But, you know, at this point, you know, I also feel, and I hate when people recommend shows like this to me, like, you're going to love Entourage, but you got to go back to season one. Yeah. And I go, you know what, why don't you fucking go fuck
this
yourself?
Is why
I ain't going back. So if I was going to tell you to watch The Killing, I'd say go to season one.
Here's the problem.
Walking Dead season one.
People don't know their audience.
Yeah.
I'm not going to recommend Doctor Who to you.
Sure.
Okay? Yeah. Even though there's some great Doctor Who episodes. Mm. I just know you personally aren't going
to
care.
I've seen Doctor. It's not that good.
It's just not a show in your wheelhouse. But people will do that. They like something, and then they can't think far enough ahead to consider what the other person's going to like.
All right. Give me a number five. Let's keep this.
Number five, Storage Wars.
Storage Wars, yay.
That's right. Number five, yay. Storage Wars.
All right, but let's make clear about Storage Wars.
Uh-huh.
If you ever see Dave face-to-face, there's a fist fight. True or false?
Dave seems like a real cunt. But you know what happened? What's been happening on Storage Wars, the more episodes they do, the more you see them kind of like palling around a little
bit. Yeah, yeah.
They're all kind of goofing.
There's a wink to the camera. Like,
I think there might
It's pro wrestling a little bit.
Okay. Storage Wars is endlessly compelling, much like Pawn Stars. It's going to wear out its welcome soon enough.
Yeah.
Pawn Stars, it's the same show every time.
Well, Pawn Stars, I think, works maybe. Well, I'm going to talk about Pawn Stars, but it's more about the items. When it's about the items, Pawn Stars is good.
Well, that's the
when
best.
When it's about the guys, it's not as good.
The same thing with Storage Wars.
Yeah, Storage Wars is a lot about the guys compared to Pawn Stars,
yeah,
I think.
But there is a certain amount. Every episode, there's some cool item they find.
Yeah.
Now, I question sometimes how this item is in a locker full of garbage.
Right, yeah.
But the original A&E Storage Wars looks like Masterpiece Theater compared to the other storage shows.
Auction Hunters.
Yeah. Okay, there's like four other auction shows.
There are.
And one of them's on my worst list. They're
The Real Deal?
They're terrible. Okay. Then what happened when Pawn Stars was a hit, there was like Pawn Chicks.
Well, there's Pawn.
Isn't there a girl pawn show?
What's the one in Detroit? Pawn.
Hardcore
Pawn.
That's going to get on my worst list. Look, I don't want to prime snake it. Storage Wars.
That's fine.
But the original Storage Wars, I like Barry.
Yeah.
The problem with the other shows is no one is likable in any way.
Sure.
The rest of them are all. Storage Wars Texas came on. And, okay, now let's be honest. These people are parasitic filth that are making a living off other people's economic or personal tragedies in which they lost the money to pay for their storage unit and sometimes lost hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff.
Right.
One time Dave bought a unit that was like a whole room full of disco light rigs for like a nightclub.
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
And he made like $40,000 off it.
Yeah.
You know, that's some company.
Right.
Some company screwed up, so I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah.
But then other times it's like, hey, this guy's entire collection of, you know.
Yeah, he had a Gibson guitars.
Right.
Throughout the years.
Yeah.
And they're all.
This guy has a 1954 Les Paul.
Yeah.
And you just go, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You feel bad for the guy. Mm. Or, you know, it's their locker full of surfboards or something. And they screwed up on that. But so they are parasites. But Barry comes at it from the he's a collector.
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't look and go. All the other guys go. Well, I could put $250 on that dinette set. That headboard's going to get me about $175. They first of all put ridiculous artificial. They look at some beat up old couch and go, well, that's $800 right there.
Yeah.
They put the ridiculous total that they're estimating what something's going to be worth. Barry is a wacky, crazy guy who likes collecting stuff, and he likes weird.
He's a guy who doesn't need the money too, and so
he got excited.
He has a little more fun with it.
Yeah, I don't know where his money comes from.
He ran a produce supply company or something.
Yeah.
I looked him up. Yeah,
he's
like
got
that.
Money. Well, one of the guys in Storage Wars, Texas, is a podiatric surgeon. He's like a doctor, so it's like his hobby.
Yeah.
Anyway. Barry's fun. I root for him. The other people are kind of crazy.
Randy and Jared. There you go. When does he kill her and dump her body in the river?
She's
when
is that so happen? Annoying.
Yeah.
And is only saved by being marginally hot.
Is that official that she was a stripper? Like, do we know that for a fact or was it not?
Well,
because they did the one where they went to Vegas.
Everything's about stripping.
And they did like a round table. And he's like, well, we met because he was managing a bar I worked in.
Right.
And I go, well, what kind of bar does that asshat manage? You know what I mean? Like, no, but I mean, I think that's right. the case.
And
right?
I remember he was like, and I told the owner, I'm going to date her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
so I'm guessing strip club? She might have been in
well,
the strip club.
Okay, that's funny you say that because this is how much I watch George. George. I've watched these episodes two or three times on some of them. Brandy will often kind of do a thing where she like fake strips.
Yeah.
And Jared's like, it's always with stripping with you. It's always comes back to stripping.
Yeah. It might be.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's smoke, there's fire.
I think a little bit of a pull.
By the way, I believe the first season, maybe the first two, are on Netflix. If you have Netflix, you can watch Door to Door.
Well, if you look at the cans, if you look at the cans on Brandy.
Brandy's hot. I like it.
One time she was just in a really tight tank top, and I went, I see why he's putting up with this.
Yeah, she's white trash, but
she's white trash
hot.
Yeah. She's got a good body. Yeah. The people on Storage Wars Texas are all unappealing. There's nothing to look at there.
She's the only eye candy on that.
No, they're like 400-pound hillbilly dudes, and then there's like a crazy woman with bad teeth, and she's got, I swear to God, she's got a houseboy.
Okay.
She's got like this guy, Jerry, who works for her. Like, Jerry, come on, we're going to bring that truck around. And he's like, well, I don't know. I think Miss Lisa's spending too much money. It's ridiculous. It's like,
yeah, I haven't seen that.
He might as well be like, make it, well, I got your grits ready for you, Miss Lisa. It's so bad. Storage Wars Texas is dreadful. But the original Storage Wars, they go to Alhambra and they go to, you know, we're in Valencia, California. Yeah. It's all places around L.A. Mm. They might go up to Pasadena or... They went to Hemet.
There's people with a lot of money in LA.
Or Azusa. So
that's good.
Yeah, they go to the metropolitan LA, California region. But it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. I like Storage Wars. It's not better than Game of Thrones, but I like the show. So
sure.
I can't argue with that. All right, my number four has been canceled.
Okay.
And that's the biggest moan, really, in this whole top 10 that I can tell you. Because I love this show. Everyone who watched this loved it. You even brought it up already once today.
Yeah.
But Bored to Death on HBO
was
fucking tremendous. They did three seasons. The last one just ended. Fucking the best. I mean, the funniest goddamn stuff you'll ever see. I mean, hilarious, well done. You know, they spent money on it. Great guest stars. I mean, Zach Galifianakis. Ted Danson, really the star. I mean, wasn't the star, because it really was about Schwartzman, like season one. And as it went on, like Zach and Ted Danson had bigger roles as it went on. But Ted Danson on that is kind of the greatest character ever.
Ted Danson's awesome.
Well, he originally is sort of the editor of like Vanity Fair. Mm-hmm. It's not called Vanity Fair, it's called something else. But he basically, season one, he's the editor of Vanity Fair. So he's kind of this uppity, you know, Manhattan socialite guy. But he smokes too much dope and he's constantly getting high and he's got a bunch of ex-wives and he's banging chicks and it's great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jason Schwartzman.
He's a loose fit in for Graydon Carter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, basically. So, yeah. And you know, he...
Hey, everybody, that might be the most uptown reference ever made in 5 years of podcasting with Joel Fragamenti and Corey Hall.
Some shit.
Uptown references.
Would you believe we're at 7 years in March? But anyway, really? Enough of that.
God damn, that sounds awful when you put it that way.
Time to quit, yeah. Right. No, but Bored to Death is great. It's you know, Jonathan Schwartzman character is... He's a novelist who wants to solve... who can't get his novel published. He reads a lot. He writes detective stories. He decides he's going to be a detective. Puts an ad on Craigslist, and people hire him to do wacky
adventures.
Isn't
that a show? But that's a show where they really don't stick to the premise every week.
No, it changes, because sometimes there's like a mystery will take 3, 4, 5, even a whole season to resolve itself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like Kristen Wiig will hire him to find out who her husband's cheating on, and then he ends up banging Kristen Wiig. You know, that stuff like that guest stars come on.
No, there you go.
Amy Adams was in the last couple episodes of season 3.
I banged both of those guys.
Yeah, it's a real good show.
Jenny Slate, I'd bang that.
I mean, it reminds you of sort of Wes Anderson-style comedy a little bit.
Quirky and mirthy.
Yeah, it's quirky, yes. But it's a little more, it is sometimes a little more slapsticky than that. But
whimsy.
Yeah, it's great. And it all takes place in Brooklyn, and it looks beautiful.
Okay, you think Community is pitched too high for people to get?
Yeah.
That is like, that's like only dog hearing.
But because it was, the slapstick elements ground it somewhat, I think, from like a Wes Anderson thing. That's the difference.
You know what? I find that Jason Schwartzman is just not someone people want to watch.
No, I agree with you on that.
And I think that was drawing 200,000 viewers.
They moved it off Sunday.
30,000. It had some.
It was low. You know, it was. Yeah.
It had some. I mean, more people voted for Ron Paul. It had a horrifically.
But HBO, I think it was. that the actors were unavailable they more were than anything else. Yeah. Yeah, because Ted Danson's on CSI, Zach's doing a million movies. Mm-hmm. Schwartzman, I'm sure, has no shortage of scripts piled up. And
well, what did they get, two or three seasons out of that?
They got three, were short seasons. They were like seven episodes, six episodes
you know what?
Each.
That, look at that like a British show and say...
Well, they're little movies.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like three-hour movies, and mm-hmm. they're great. So, Bored to Death... Watch all of those if you haven't seen it. Tremendous. I think they're all out on DVD. Not the newest one yet, but I think one and two are. And it's just so funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really great. So,
this next one, I just bitched about the network.
Oh,
but I will say that this is the best thing on the channel.
And it is.
Other than when there's a game on, you want to watch.
Oh,
and I don't really know how to classify this because they're under a couple different headings. But it would be the ESPN documentaries.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what you call it.
There was the 30 for 30 series, which was for their 30th anniversary.
Now they're doing new ones.
So now they're doing different ones, but they're doing just documentary. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah. There's no...
It seems like they're under...
ESPN Films.
ESPN Films.
Maybe, yeah.
All right. We'll just put it under ESPN Films.
Yeah.
They're terrific.
Right.
A couple of them... Okay. The Marinovich Project was about Todd Marinovich and how his father, who was like a linebacker at USC, excuse me, trained this kid from the womb. He didn't let him have a walker because he wanted to improve his balance. You know, he just basically like put him on a diet from the day he was born. Mm. Trained him. He didn't have a cookie till he was like 15 years old. Trained him in every way. Built him to be an athlete. And he was a quarterback. And he was an insane. He broke like every Valley record in California and became like the high school quarterback. It was like the Joe Montana of high school quarterbacks. Went to USC, was great there, only played like 2 years. Went to the NFL, started snorting coke right up his nose. I mean, he was with the Raiders when the Raiders were big balling. Just packing limousines, hanging out with Cindy Crawford, just a roving party. Because what do you think happens when you have somebody, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You and I went to public school. We didn't like it very much.
Yeah.
Right? Neither of us did.
No, I didn't like school.
No. Because we're in there, you're with a bunch of dopes.
Right,
right?
Yeah.
You feel like an inmate in an asylum
it
full
is,
of creeps.
It did feel like
you
got to
deal with people. But guess what? You and I are not cokeheads.
We're not. Yeah.
We're not crazy. Mm-hmm. We don't have any felonies on our record.
Yeah.
You show me a homeschooler. You show me an Amish kid.
Yeah.
You show me a Jehovah. Yeah. The day they get out of there, it is Party City, right. USA. It's wild. You can't do that to
somebody. When you describe it that way, the NFL was the ultimate goal, and when he reached that goal, he had no reason to keep bettering himself.
Right.
I mean, you can look at it that way. It's a classic story of, you know,
well,
the overachiever
he
who
didn't
finally
look at it,
bottomed
right.
out.
He didn't look at it like, I'm going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
He was like, I got to the
His
NFL.
His goal was to get drafted, yeah.
And that's enough. Mm-hmm. And right. then he was good in flashes, and they said he was even good. He was, like, playing in the Arena League,
mm-hmm.
and he threw 10 touchdown passes in an arena game.
Yeah.
And was on heroin. And literally he's like, I could Jeez. Start to feel that I was like bottoming out in the second, you know, like, like in the second half, I was starting like the third quarter. I was like, I'm going to need a fix soon. And he just had insane talent because his dad had built the muscle memory and he had the absolute perfect delivery and he could throw 80 yard bombs, but just his head wasn't in it. Mm. And he wanted to go make rock and roll music and live on the beach in Venice. Yeah. Great story. Chuck Wepner, the guy that was originally the inspiration for Rocky, who was a big Palooka tomato can from Philadelphia who got beat around and fought Muhammad Ali, knocked him down, although some people say he stepped on his foot. But he went 14 rounds. He lost, unlike Rocky.
Yeah.
Rocky
lost in Rocky.
I think he got knocked.
The original Rocky, Rocky lost.
He got knocked out. Rocky went
Rocky didn't
distance.
Win till Rocky 2.
Right.
Yeah.
Wepner actually, I think, lost on a countout, but fought Ali much better than they thought he would. By the way, it sucked to be a heavyweight then. Wepner, if he fought in like,
there's a movie called Fighting Ali or something. Did you ever see that? It's a documentary
about all the opponents.
It's about
Ali.
All the opponents of Ali, and it was cool.
What's insane is that
I saw the trailer.
That era of like the late '60s to the late '70s had the best heavyweights.
Yeah,
if those guys had, like, if Ken Norton had fought in the mid '80s, he would have been.
Well, he
would have been bigger than Tyson.
Ali cleaned it out to the point where there wasn't guys left to fight, and people didn't want to get into boxing because they didn't want to lose to Ali almost. Right.
Look at like Joe Frazier, Ken Norton,
Ernie Shavers.
All those guys were great. Foreman.
Yeah.
It was the best time in heavyweight boxing, and Wepner would have been pretty decent under other circumstances. Mm-hmm. But he's like a liquor salesman, and Vince McMahon's involved in that one because he had a bout with Andre the Giant. He fought a
bit. Wepner did wrestling, I think, once or twice.
Wepner wrestled, or he did one of those boxing versus wrestling exhibitions like Street Fighter with Andre the Giant.
I saw the Steve Bartman ESPN.
That was good.
And that was pretty good.
That was good. Right. So those are all good.
All right, yeah, good.
The one on Jimmy the Greek, tremendous.
Jimmy the Greek.
That was great. So the ESPN, those are really well done.
The Blacks.
The rest of that network, the Blacks. I wish we had that button.
Well, the Blacks are the better. Yeah. All right. Let me get to number three because we gotta get
rolling.
Yeah, we're an hour and 10 minutes in, but that's all right. This is probably in your top three, I'm guessing anyway. So we're gonna kill two birds with one stone. Parks and Recreation on NBC.
Well, there you go.
There it is. Number three, Parks and Rec. I mean, what more can you say if you're not watching it? I mean, look, they made The Office. They said to Greg Daniels, who adapted Ricky Gervais's Office, like, "Hey, that was nice. Give us something else." And he came up with this, and now it's better. Even The Office. So it's a show that spun off from the original and has actually superseded it in terms of quality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something to say.
Yeah.
I love it. Parks and Rec, still good.
Top notch.
Yeah. I mean,
this was a particularly good season, too.
Yeah, it's been real good. It's not over yet, but
I will say this. There is a character on Parks and Recreation who is a guaranteed laugh for me every time he appears.
I know who you're going to say, too.
He kills it every time.
Yeah.
John Ralphio. Always funny.
Yeah, he's great.
That shtick.
And he was in it a lot this season.
But you know what? They used him just enough.
He's on a new show, that guy.
They never do a whole episode.
You don't even like that guy, though, probably.
Probably if I saw him in something else, I'd hate him.
He's in, let me find out the show he's on. He's on a show with...
They perfectly calibrated John Ralphio.
I think it's on USA with... Okay. Oh, God, I'm blown.
Mm-hmm. Well, Aziz Ansari is on that show as Tom Haverford. He's an Indian guy who changed his name to Tom Haverford to get ahead in small town government. He's ridiculous, and he talks about how he gives everything a name, like apps and zerts, appetizers and desserts, and sandwiches or Sandoozles or Adam Sandlers or Sammy's. What is this?
Ben Schwartz is the guy's name. I think he's a stand up, or he might be a. Ben Schwartz might do
that. I don't care what he is. He's goddamn hilarious. John Ralphio.
John Ralphio's great. I mean, so many characters are good on that.
It all worked this year on Parks and Rec. It was a good season. I've liked the show the whole time, but this year dialed it in.
Let's see. Ben Schwartz is in... because he's in a new... House of Lies.
Okay.
Which is... that is Don Cheadle's new series on Showtime.
Well...
So if you want to see more Bench Wars,
won't
show
be
time.
Watching that.
Oh, come on. You don't want to watch. It's Kristen Bell, Don Cheadle.
When are we going to have Treat Yourself?
I'm going to watch this. I'm going to get that House of Lies. I'll tell you how.
Well, here's what's, on Parks and Recs, I do get occasionally annoyed in that Pawnee, Indiana is apparently roughly the size of, what do you think, Omaha, Nebraska?
Smaller than that. I would say it's like Kalamazoo, Michigan or something.
But I'm saying for all the stuff they have in that town.
It's like Springfield.
It is
Simpsons.
Like Springfield,
It grows.
It's never-ending. They have everything. A city council building that looks like Pasadena, California's building.
Yeah, because that's where it is.
Yeah, it's huge. This is much like The Office, where whenever they try to leave the building, Parks and Rec does a lot more of it than The Office.
Yeah.
Whenever they leave the building and you go, yeah, it's not Indiana.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Palmetto.
Yeah, they
that's
do, but I think they actually do a fair job, though.
They do better.
They do a fair job.
They do better than The Office, where it is so evidently Southern California.
Yeah.
They're clearly in the valley.
Yeah.
And then they try and make fake snow on The Office.
Mm-hmm. Parks and Rec is great. If you're not watching it, just watch it. I'm guessing that's somewhere in your top three.
My number two.
Okay, so I'll just break that down. You go three now.
Speed round.
Three.
My number three, Beavis and Butthead.
No, really?
The return of Beavis and Butthead is so fucking funny.
Really?
I cannot. I shit myself laughing every time.
Interesting.
Much like it was originally, the individual plots of Beavis and Butthead are they're not as funny.
Yeah.
There's a giggle. I'll go, ha-ha. I'll get a little whimsical look. When they, although actually these are even funnier than they used to be.
Really? That's better.
they had one where they were trying to catch a rat in their, and first of all, Beavis and Butthead have not changed in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
They're still wearing the AC/DC and the Metallica shirt. Uh-huh. He's wearing the red shorts.
Yeah.
They look like they stepped out of 1989. Uh-huh. They're like metalheads from Texas. Yeah. Show's exactly the same. All the supporting characters, the hippie teacher, the old man who sounds like Hank Hill.
Yeah.
He went and had success with King of the Hill and all kinds of stuff. Came back, does the exact same show. To a T. They still do videos.
Yeah.
Some of them are great, and they but they're doing videos for like indie bands now.
Oh, okay.
So you'll get like Young the Giant
like
and stuff, and like
Jay-Z doesn't want to be on there, made fun of.
Well, or, they might do those too.
Yeah,
but it's more kind of that. They did a great this one called "It's So Cold in the D," which was this no dollar Detroit shot rap video, and it like you would see on WADL on the new dance show or whatever they got on there, whatever the high fiving and jiving, whatever the show is. So funny. It's really good. It's dialed in. And now they do videos, and then they'll do, like, MTV shows, like 16 and Pregnant.
Well, that might be what MTV needs right now.
It is shooting. It is
someone to, like, kick them in the balls and show them how dumb.
It is kicking them in the balls.
Show them how dumb MTV really is.
And I hope
is,
the kids that watch MTV watch Beavis and Butthead and
they
go.
Get that, yeah.
Because they rip New Jersey Shore an asshole like you wouldn't believe, like, oh, they do Jersey Shore, and it's so funny. It is so funny.
Well, it's yeah. I mean, and I agree. That's that almost without question is the best show on MTV, and I've never even seen it.
Well,
that's how bad MTV.
Did you see it 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's the same shit.
Same show.
There you go.
Just as funny.
All right.
It is. I guarantee every episode of Beavis and Butthead has like a laugh out loud moment every show.
Okay.
Maybe two or three. It's unbelievable what Mike Judge is doing. He's on top of his game.
All right. Beavis and Butthead. I haven't seen the return of that. So, all right, let me give you my number two, and then we did your number two, and then I guess we'll do your one and then my one.
All
but
right.
My number two show, sticking with premium cable, this time on Showtime.
Well, you're an elitist prick. All right.
Well, I pay an extra $20 a month, and my favorite shows are on it. What's wrong with that?
Jerk. All right.
Homeland on Showtime with Claire Danes.
Yeah, it's all stuff I
haven't
watched.
Mandy Patinkin. Tremendous. And here's the thing about this show. I mentioned Game of Thrones being sort of having that movie quality production value. Mm-hmm. Homeland doesn't go for that. Homeland is a television show, but this plot, they remade an Israeli show.
Mm-hmm.
And this fucking concept of the POW comes home and Claire Danes has a hunch that he's been programmed by Al-Qaeda, that he is now a sleeper cell.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they want this guy to run for Congress. This guy's a big national hero. And she thinks he's working for Al-Qaeda, but she can't say anything.
The Manchurian candidate.
Yeah, it's great, and it really works. And plus, not only that, Claire Danes is crazy, and she has to take crazy pills because she's a nymphomaniac. And she's banging everybody.
Well, that works for me.
I'm telling
Claire
you.
Claire Danes' nympho.
And there's twists and turns in this that are really, really great.
I got to say already, in just setting up the premise, and I've heard a lot of people talk about how great this show is.
It is good.
Just setting up the premise, it sounds more plausible as an Israeli show.
You know what? They do it well. Again, it's not trying to be real.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying?
But it's,
in Israel, there's very real concerns
of
being undermined every day.
Yes, yes.
Because you're right on top of the Arabs. Here, I'm a little more dubious
until
they start doing Al-Qaeda stuff.
They do, because if this was real, this would, like, blow 9/11 out of the water as far as its, you know, like...
Okay, outside of the shoe bomber and the one kid who went over there.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda has not made a lot of inroads into red-haired white people.
Sure, yeah.
That's my one...
Right.
My one gimmick with the premise. Because, isn't the guy who's the mole... like a freckly red haired guy.
He looks like you're
now. But see, if you go to you know Tel Aviv, they all look like.
Well, it's not that he's from Al Qaeda. He's an American guy, he was held for 8 years, and they think in that 8 years he was. Who they recruited from birth
I'm
or something.
Is, if I brought an Israeli and a Palestinian in here,
you can't.
Would you tell who they were?
Right.
That's my.
But
one.
That's why the show works, though, because it's not a guy that is. I mean, I get what you're saying.
It's a little implausible,
but they make it plausible in the way. That's because it's so well done.
If they put that show in Ireland in like 1986, you couldn't tell the difference between IRA and
but
you know.
That's why it works, though. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it works on a different level of Well, he could be this or he could be that. We know what he is. He's already an American hero. Yeah. And they're already pinning the fucking Purple Heart and all the shit on his chest. Meanwhile, and he's meeting with the vice. They have, you know, the vice president is in this. You know, they didn't go as far as to actually put Obama in it. But, you know, there is the vice president who's just, you know, your regular white guy. Right. Character actor, but they just really do some smart stuff on there. Mandy Patinkin's great.
It sounds like it's in the 24 realm a little bit.
Same producers as 24. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, and by the way, Marina Baccarin, who is the alien leader on V,
sure.
on the new V, which by the way, I'm not done ready to tell the producers of V to go fuck themselves. I will do 2 hours on this show about that show, which hasn't been on in a year, can suck my nuts. But Marina Baccarin was the hot alien leader, and she's naked about 6 different times in 10 episodes.
Well, you know, maybe
so there you go.
Maybe I'll Netflix that.
There's Claire Danes' ass, but no boobs or vagina.
Well, she doesn't have any boobs.
But there's ass in it, and you can enjoy that.
That's, with Claire Danes, I'd have to really compromise my principles. That's talk about how...
No, you'll do.
Yeah.
He'll make do.
People go, Obama has to sign bills that he has to compromise on.
You're right.
She has, like, one of... I got to say, Claire Danes has... a top shelf ass. I mean, it's like a world class dumper. I mean, you've seen the thing, right?
She's skinny, but she has.
But
a nice
that
ass.
Butt
yeah,
is
she's...
sometimes a really skinny girl.
Yeah.
Will just have like an ass that looks like it was made by Botticelli. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it'll be like Leonardo da Vinci chiseled this out of marble.
Yeah.
It's a perfect little pear. It's a little cherry tomato ass on Claire Danes. Perfect. No tits to be speak of.
Claire Danes is good. Great, very good show.
I'm getting to the real heart of the matter.
I'm real happy
show.
With the show. And, you know, I kind of watched it and went like, we'll see if this is good or not. And goddamn it.
It sounds kind of like it exists in the Fox reality of terrorism, but I'll look at it.
Again, it's a television show.
I've heard
show.
Nothing but good things
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, it's good. It's worth watching. So anyway, give me your number one.
My number one show. Louie. Another FX show.
Louie on FX. All right.
Louie.
Go ahead, Louie. Go ahead. Tell us all about Louis C.K.
It's a great show. It's just simply a great show. As a comedian.
Okay.
It appeals.
I'm going to go to open mic and let those guys suck Louis C.K.'s balls for the next 20 minutes. Can I do that?
It's a great show.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. It does have a little bit of that factor going on where every comic, every open micer, and every feature. Wants to be.
That's everybody's hero is
Louis
C.K.
Because he is kind of, he's in a weird position where he's commercially viable and creatively viable.
He's credible to people who think comedy should be smart. Comedy shouldn't be done by pretty boys. Comedy, you know, shouldn't be done by hacks.
Which is
everything you want. And yet I see Louis C.K. and I go, there's got to be some other guy that's funny. There's got to be. You can't line up 100 guys and they all tell you Louis C.K. is their favorite comedian.
He's
come on.
You know what? That's a problem right now.
He's everybody's favorite guy.
He's the top dog at the moment.
Yeah.
But you know what? Some of his competition died.
Okay. No, I agree.
Greg Giraldo could have gotten the vote.
Giraldo died. Robert Schimmel died.
Look, it's like this. Yeah. It's like when they get to South Carolina, there might only be 3 guys in the race.
Yeah.
Okay. When they started, you know what I mean?
Right.
Iowa, before Iowa, you had Tim Pawlenty.
Here's the thing with Louis.
What's happened is guys are dead. Patrice O'Neill died.
Patrice O'Neill
he
died.
He could have gotten a couple votes.
Yeah.
Greg Giraldo, gone. Yeah. He could have gotten a couple votes, you know?
Okay. Here's the thing with him, and I'm not talking about the show because I've never seen the Louis show.
You got to see the show.
I'll try to watch the Louis show. I've heard it's good. I just, you know, I'm full of shows. I'm watching this movie, I Am Comic. It's a documentary. Rich Scheidner is sort of in charge. Anyway, so I'm watching this movie, and Louis's talking about, here's what I do. I take my best closing bit, I make it my opener, and then I write a new 50 minutes after that, and I do that every year. And then I see these guys on open mic throwing away good bits to make new stuff because they think they're Louis C.K., and I'm like, well, you're a retard. You're not Louis C.K. Here's what you do. Do the same fucking 10 minutes till they put you on The Tonight Show to do that 10 minutes, okay? You want to get famous. Look, I know Louis C.K. does it, and Louis, he's the exception. Your dumb ass, your dumb notebook full of jokes isn't Louis C.K. So my feeling is he's become a prototype for stand-up comedians.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, really, what he should be is a prototype for headliners who can keep an act fresh after having success versus people who are trying to rise to the top.
Well, I will say that the standard by which Louis C.K. operates under is difficult, if not impossible.
It's an unobtainable standard.
Well, look, George Carlin did the same thing. This is the problem with Louis.
Yeah.
George Carlin said, you got to write a new set every 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what George, you know, George Carlin goes, I do a new material every 2 years and I never do the old stuff.
Yeah.
That's when Louis went, well, I got to do that.
Exactly, yeah.
And you're right. It doesn't, okay, there are guys on the open mic level that can't do that.
Right.
But they can't even write a joke, like 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, the point
although
is.
Although your approach, where you do the same 10 minutes you get on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Well, I mean, I'm not on the Tonight Show, but I'm also not doing the same 10 minutes. But there is a premise of hone a certain amount of material that you need.
Right.
No one's calling you to do an HBO special, dummy, on open mic. Just learn how to MC, learn how to middle, learn how to do these things, and it might help you. Stop pretending you're your hero because you're not.
Well, here's the problem. It's like the thing where Walter Payton did, you know, 5,000 sit-ups a day and ran up stairs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's guys who are elite and can do crazy things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Louis C.K. right now is a great comic. Yeah. You're right. Other people are trying to copy him and they can't keep up with
what he's
doing.
Yeah, because ultimately what you have is you have guys who could be good middles and MCs on their own terms and not Louis C.K., but working comics, and they come in and they act like they're, you know, they lay a giant turd up when they get the call to go to the big show, they can't hack doing 15 good minutes at the Comedy Castle.
Here's the thing.
Because they think they're Louis C.K.
None of this is material to the show.
It's not. I apologize.
None of this is material. Okay.
Go ahead.
You're a guy who hasn't written a joke in 7 years.
But let's go to Louis C.K. show.
All right, no. I mean, you want to have this argument?
I'm not having an argument, and it's not about me. It's about other people.
All right. The other approach of never writing a joke.
I write lots of jokes.
All right.
I do.
I kind of go in the middle. I'm doing stuff that's been around for a few years, and then I fold in new stuff all the time. I'm kind of doing the...
Well...
When you make a... I'm doing the old Italian method of making a pasta, where you put an egg in the middle, and you slowly sort of fork into the flour.
Okay.
And then you make the batter that way. That's what I do. I roll out stuff that's old.
But here's a difference.
People come up and go,
okay,
how come you're not doing the Super Friends joke? I'm like, because I did that bit in 1999.
Okay, well, first of all, here's the thing. Your newer bits are more mature than the Super Friends bit and the Muppets bit, and maybe you still do those. And I don't care if you do or not. I don't care what you do.
Oh, well, what I do is I have what I have now is a bunch of material so that I can occasionally have to go and pull that one out of the drawer.
Frank Sinatra bit or something.
One's retired.
Okay, that one's retired.
But I'll pull something out of the
drawer. But you had bits that were sort of more simplistic and maybe less insightful when you started out, okay? But here's another difference with you. You actually work. When people ask you to go on stage, you're usually doing 20, 30 minutes.
Right.
And
these
guys are doing 5 minutes, and they can't do the same jokes more than three times because the other guys at open mic heard them, and they're trying to be Louis C.K. They're idiots.
None of this has to do with
the
show itself.
I know. I'm sorry.
But okay, on the show itself, Louis does do stand-up every show, and he blows away a lot of material, and it's aggravating to go, I'm this good that I can just give away material. Much like Seinfeld had a joke
on
every show.
Boy, and those were great, too. Oof. Seinfeld's weren't. I'm not judging Louis.
Some of Louis' stuff is really good on the show, even stand-up.
Yeah.
Although, they'll come in the middle of a bit, so you won't really get all the context.
Right.
But on the show itself, he has a lot of comics on. He had one where he and Nick DiPaolo got in a fist fight over politics at like the Comedy Cellar, and he broke Nick DiPaolo's nose, and then he felt awful and had to go to the hospital with him.
Right.
He did another one where.
So this is semi documentary, Curb Your Enthusiasm style.
Yeah, that's the tone.
Okay.
But he really does very. He did one where a woman picked him up after. Oh, Stephen Wright told him, "You gotta get pussy after the show."
Oh, okay.
Because like Stephen Wright was hanging around at the bar at Caroline's or wherever they were, and he was like, "I'm just gonna go home." And he's like, "No, no." And so a woman picks him up and takes him to Jersey.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm stuck out in Jersey." And then her husband comes in and wants to watch, and he has to leave. And he has to call Chris Rock to come pick him up. It's a funny show.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Doug Stanhope came in and did one where he was a miserable alcoholic.
Larry Sanders in a comedy club.
It is, but it's very sharply done. It's sometimes a little too mopey. And then, you know, they did one episode that was all a fart joke, but it's a good show. It's a really good show, and top notch. It's not like a regular sitcom. It is very much one camera.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Did Lewis Black die? When did Louis C.K. become everyone's favorite?
When he jumped
comedian.
Everybody's.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
You know, Louis Black doesn't get the credit he should.
Louis Black was everybody's favorite comedian 10 years ago, and now it's Louis C.K. But anyway, okay.
No, I love Louis Black.
Right.
I think he's great.
Yeah,
I've seen him live a couple times. met him.
I've opened for him.
At the castle.
Yeah.
Great. Dave Attell also gets a lot of that.
Dave Attell's great, but...
He's splitting votes with Louis C.K.
Oh, Dave Attell and C.K., yeah, those are the top two.
But Attell's a little more inside.
They're the top two right now.
A little
now.
More inside baseball.
Okay. Well, let me give you my number one show. And,
hi-yo! Of the comics rating.
The comics turned into that for some reason. Yeah. No, just I watched this I Am Comic, and Louis C.K. was on. And it's just like, you know, it's fine. I'm not judging Louis. I'm not saying Louis C.K. sucks. I'm not saying that. But he's every – like, you can't start a conversation without Louis C.K. It's – you can't – and, you know –
I would say he is representative of a certain style. He's the Tim Tebow of comedy. He's representative of a certain style of comedy, and you have to go through him.
My number one show, and again – throw your squirt bottle. Aim right here, Corey. Go ahead. Aim right between the eyes.
You already had Survivor, which is a
piece
of shit.
Well, no. This is a great show, and you would love it. But again, you haven't seen it. Because you don't have HBO.
Boardwalk Empire.
But Boardwalk Empire is the best show on television. And again, they take the show. They shoot it like it's the finest film. You know, like this would be an Oscar-nominated film if it was in the movie theater. It's that good. Mm-hmm. Cast is great. And something I think that elevates it from Sopranos... And Game of Thrones does this, I guess, on some level, too, is that Game of Thrones doesn't do it in the same way, but, you know, there's historical elements to Boardwalk Empire, like Jack Dempsey's in it, you know, like they'll just have, you know, Al Capone and Lucky Luciano are in this and Meyer Lansky. And so there are these real characters that sort of intertwine with the fictional characters. And Boardwalk Empire was a true crime book originally. It was based on a real guy, but they fictionalized it for the sake of a television show.
Right.
And, you know, Scorsese did the pilot, and it's a lot of the Sopranos guys who write and direct the episodes. And Steve Buscemi's great. There's lots of tits. I mean, it's period gangster stuff done in, you know, adult soap opera, crime, bootlegging.
I saw the pilot. I saw the pilot.
Really good.
And it was good.
Yeah, and, it, you know, it's better. The series has gotten better over the years. In fact, season two was better than season one. And, you know, they do kill the characters occasionally. Which is nice that they got the balls to do that.
Well, I would hope for... well, they do that on The Sopranos all the time.
Yeah.
I would hope for that to be a good show.
Yeah.
I don't have the HBO. So there you go.
Yeah, and it's a time suck. You know, again, I would tell you...
Paz Vega, she's naked every
Paz
week.
Paz Vega is naked a lot. Yeah. I mean, Michael Shannon.
Actor, sure.
Michael Shannon acting creepy as all fucking get out.
Michael Shannon was in one of my best movies of the year.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, he's the religious guy that wants to, you know, stop... he's the prohibition cop.
Mm-hmm.
He's the government official that wants to stop Steve Buscemi and all these guys.
The prohibition agent. Yeah.
He's the prohibition agent who's like a religious nut.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, secretly is banging whores and stuff. And
sure.
You know, it's great. It's so great. I mean, Boardwalk Empire, man, it's just like that might be the best TV show I've ever seen. It's really fucking good.
Well,
I mean, it's hard to compare it to like a great comedy or something.
I got
to
say,
but...
considering when I met you and you didn't watch like any scripted shows pretty much.
Yeah.
This is a different world for you.
Well, the scripted shows I've watched, I've started watching recently for one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because my girlfriend watched them, but I got in on the ground floor of a lot of these shows.
Yeah.
And when you don't, you really can't, you know. Are you going to go and pick up, you know, are you going to watch all the Game of Thrones up to this? I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
So you sort of like when these shows come on, I'll start them, I'll watch them, and go like, at least I'll get it all because I'm starting from the beginning. So maybe that's why I've sort of turned the corner on this, because you know Sopranos I watched the last three seasons of or something, and that was overrated.
It was overrated.
I mean, I'm not saying it was bad, but it was overrated. I mean, the stuff I didn't see was tremendous.
He did
but...
this voice, you know, Carmella.
You're doing it.
I'm doing it
way
poorly.
Way better than James Gandolfini.
Your
Italian accent. You're not doing a good Gandolfini, but you're doing a better Italian.
What you do is you take dice, and then you know you go. You take the oh
yeah, dice. It's
hickory dickory duck.
No, Soprano. Tony Soprano hair. He had a like in it. His voice. And what are you doing? Hey, what's going on here? What's the matter?
I found him to be unpalatable.
He was overdone.
Everybody always said he was so great in that, but he was kind of unpalatable.
Boardwalk Empire, though, is...
I think it was the point. The character was supposed
to be... Boardwalk Empire is sometimes very quiet. And it's very, and you do have to follow along. And then there's like, you know, one of the guys, I forget what his name was on the Wire, but it's one of the guys from The Wire is on it as well.
Well, The Wire.
As sort of the leader of the blacks,
The
black gangster.
The top black.
Yeah, he's the top black.
Was he bred to be the top black?
I don't know.
By Jimmy
Creek? He's in it as well. I forget
Idris Elba?
No, it's not Idris Elba. It's one of the other guys from The Wire.
But the Wire cast, by the way, has been spread.
They're everywhere.
They've been pollinated all across television.
All right, so that's our top tens, Boardwalk Empire. Mm-hmm. I was very cable-centric on this, but...
Yeah, well...
You know, I was. All right, so you want to do our best of the rest, because I can give mine first if you want. I don't know what else you have.
That's about all.
Well, maybe you missed stuff, because I like... I still have The Office as being... Not top 10, but it's a good show. I watch it. There's The Office. Not as good as it used to be. There it is, The Office. Okay, thank you. All right, I'll take it from here. The Office. Okay, we'll just stop with that. No one wants to hear that. Stop it.
But they stop with The Office.
All right, when they stop.
Nobody
with
wants
that.
To watch that shit.
Come on, all right, Office is good. Pawn Stars, I watch.
Uh-huh.
Modern Family, you didn't mention. I watch that every week.
That's a good show.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't. Because ultimately, I said. I tried to put Modern Family in my top 10, and I said, if I had all 11 of these shows on my DVR,
mm-hmm.
which one would I watch last? And it would be Modern Family. So that's sort of how I judge. But I watch it every week.
I don't
it's
feel
good.
An urgency to watch
right,
it.
Right, there's no urgency. But when I watch it, it's good. Falling Skies on TNT sort of was The Walking Dead with aliens.
Yeah.
With Noah Wiley. And, you know, kind of the same shit, but a good show. I enjoyed that. Steven Spielberg had something to do with that, too. Pawn Stars, I said I like. The Office. Raising Hope on Fox is pretty good.
It's a good show.
It's
like it.
Smart, and it's like My Name is Earl mixed with, I don't know what, but it's good.
It's not as laugh out loud hysterical. It's not
right.
It's not a Louis C.K.
It's a
comedy set, I'll tell you that much.
It's kind of a white trash Modern Family, maybe.
It's a good show, though.
They do things on that show where they sort of take chances like creatively with the structure of the show that a lot of other shows wouldn't do. Maybe Community kind of does that too.
Yeah.
But I've watched Raising Hope, and when I watch it, I've enjoyed it. It's
Martha
not,
Plimpton.
I don't
Garrett
set
Dillahunt.
Yeah. To watch that. But Raising Hope's been good. We're going to get into Ultimate Fighter was very good on Spike. It's not on Spike anymore. They're going to FX, all the UFC stuff. But
okay.
The Ultimate Fighter reality show where all the guys live in a house and they fight until they decide who the champion.
You know what?
That's good.
If there's guys I want, I'm less interested in hearing what they think. It's UFC fighters.
Well, it's good because they live in a house with no chicks and no TV, and they end up
punching.
They end up punching each other and putting holes in the punching.
Yeah, I saw one
putting their fist through the wall.
I saw about three episodes of that.
Yeah,
and went,
I like.
Good night, everybody.
I like it. I also like Fringe. I agree. Red Zone is awesome if you love the NFL. This show, I'm going to now branch into my worst shows, and then I'll let Corey have it. America's Got Talent is ultimately the best. Could qualify as both the best and worst show at the same time.
Well, it is good. I watch that show, but it gets
too.
A little long.
It does.
I end up going, do we need to watch these people? Like, once the auditions are done, then there's about six rounds of
seeing the same people,
and then they
over
bring people
over.
Back.
Yeah, but what happens is, like, on this season, some of the acts, like, who had these great acts just, like, melted down and did something else. Did you see the Russian bar thing where the two guys would flip the girl on the bar?
Yeah, where did they screw up?
Well, they got to a thing where they said, well, we do more than the... They kept saying, they did the Russian bar thing like three times, and they were in the finals. And they're like, well, we do other stuff. And they hung the girl from the ceiling on top of a piano, and she sang a song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it made no sense. And the judges dumped all over them, and they were like, well, why would you do that? And they're like, well, we wanted to do something else and show you how creative we are.
But that's
like,
the problem with that. That's the problem with that show, is that you can only watch a guy swallow fire so many times. There's nothing they can do with those
but
acts.
So
the people who win it tend to be country singers and Terry Fator.
It's dramatic to watch the people come back each week and try to top themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they can't, you know, the guy who made the little, not Legos, but like dominoes, and I forget what they called them, and he made all
the Kinetic Master.
The Kinetic King.
Yeah.
And the Kinetic King made all these things, and then one day he went to start the thing.
It screwed up.
And it didn't even start.
Because the paper clips had warped overnight.
It was great, yeah.
Sorry. Well, I did watch more of that show than I normally do due to our friend Chris Newberg being on the show.
Yeah, Chris Newberg was on.
Jay Chris.
And Geechee Guy was on this year, too.
Yeah, I saw Geechee, too. I think Chris did a real good job with what he did, and...
And what else was good? What do you like? What, anything else you like?
That's about it.
That's about it. Really, I mean, I know you like Modern Family. And
television's a horrible cesspool of no. I mean, I watch a lot of.
Don't you watch Jon Stewart and the other guy?
I watch The Daily Show and I watch Stephen Colbert.
Conan ever?
Those
maybe.
Are all good. I watch Conan.
Yeah,
Conan. We discussed Conan at length previously.
We did, yeah.
Letterman, I watch a little bit. Okay. I watch all the shows, but those shows haven't done anything this year. All
right.
That I really went like that Late Show with Ferguson.
Yeah.
I thought was really interesting.
Right.
Right. Letterman is doing Letterman. It's the same show it's been for years.
Yeah.
So I didn't see anything that stood out. You know, it's going to get canceled, but it was pretty good. Prime Suspect.
Never saw it.
I don't like cop shows, and that one doesn't make you feel.
Was that the one with Maria Bello?
Yeah.
I saw it once.
That show, I don't like cop shows. I hate CSI.
It's a procedural.
Okay, The Soup. I watch The Soup. That's funny.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, you know what I do? I watch shows about other shows, so I don't have to watch the shows. For me, television is really, because I watch movies every week.
Sure.
And so I don't have time to watch dramas anymore, because I'm watching them for work.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
The Soup is good in that it's... get to watch all that garbage without having to watch
it.
Yeah,
I want to talk about that garbage in my worst in a second. But, yeah, The Soup's good. When I've seen it, again, I don't tune into it.
I hate Tosh.0.
Yeah.
Hate him. Can't stand
care.
Him.
I
not funny.
Care. Yeah.
You think, boy, for everybody that talks about Louis C.K. being a genius, if I hear Tosh is brilliant.
Well, but you're hearing that from different people. You're not hearing that from comedians.
Yeah, I hear it from some comics.
Really?
Oh,
well,
I've heard
they
it.
They suck.
They
well,
blow.
Here's a giant F you to them in absentia.
No,
here's
but,
an F you.
But
I'm not
here's
sure
the problem with me. I will watch terrible television.
Yeah, I'm going to, you watch it? Okay.
I watch bad stuff to go, I can't believe how bad this is.
Okay.
Okay, also, we watch food TV like it's going on style, okay? Mm-hmm. Next Food Network star. We watch that.
Right there.
Right. We watch that shit. All year long.
And you like that, or you think it's bad and you watch it anyway?
Celebrity Apprentice we watch.
Yeah.
And you know what? That show, Celebrity Apprentice is a two-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes of it is unwatchable. Mm. That 45 minutes is when Donald Trump sits there and talks about how great he is. Why, Clint Black, why wouldn't you agree with what Joan Rivers
but
had
you
to
know
say?
That the thing about that when I watched it is you know they were one-hour episodes. You know the show was done and sitting in a can somewhere in 30 Rock, and they were just ready to run it, and they're like, we need an extra hour out of these apprentices. And they went back and they recut them and made them 2 hours. And it was like, oh,
here's the problem with that show. Meatloaf losing his mind is great television.
Yeah.
Meatloaf had a hissy fit and screamed at Gary Busey.
Yeah.
That was so terrific
because
it was real. I could tell that Meatloaf had actually just had enough of Gary Busey and lost his shit.
Yeah.
Because Gary Busey, he thought he stole his paints. And it was
like two kindergartners. It really
was great.
Really terrible.
And Meatloaf was just, you don't mess with me, motherfucker. I will eat your soul. And it was great. It was like some of those things you go, oh, if it happens on Jersey Shore, you know, it's bullshit and faked up. This was really good. But anyway, but then it's padding for 45 minutes. There's always some model that you don't care about who's dummy. Or some Playboy playmate or somebody marginally famous. And you go, get out of my life. But I do like the marketing aspect of it and how they do ad campaigns.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, you watched all of those. Amazing Race I have on my worst. And it's not the worst, but it's a show that I think used to be great and certainly would have been in my top 10.
Yeah.
That between casting boring people... and just generally, maybe they're not doing enthusiastic things, or they're making the show too easy to win. That's what we had to talk about that on the phone. I think.
Well,
they
rigged the game.
We think that the game is too easy now. It used to really reward good players, and now anyone can make it to the
end. Now you basically cannot screw up at the airport.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
There used to be teams that would get 18 hours behind everybody else and lose. I still watched it. I don't think it's bad. It was a... underwhelming season
it's coming at maybe three underwhelming seasons.
So. You know what happened on The Real World?
Yeah.
They stopped casting anyone you'd give a shit about and put all hot, dumb people on.
Yeah.
That's the same problem with Amazing Race. There was a couple on that show I forgot were on from week to week who made it to the top four. And they were so boring. They
who
were so...
even won a mate? Did the Asian girl and the guy
white,
won?
White and Wong.
Oh, damn.
The law firm of White and Wong. They made it.
Right, because I think the couple you're talking about made the top three. That like,
they did.
Like, they were, you don't even know their names.
I don't
names
know their names,
the
Nicole and Biff. I don't care. They were Jeremy and Susan. They were the most boring people. They were there Marcus Pollard from the NFL was kind of interesting.
Yeah, but, Marcus Pollard and his wife were cool.
But there was no, you know, they've had really, like Mike White and his dad, they've had really interesting people. This year they did not.
They're just...
And there's only so many times you can go, we're going to Africa.
Yeah,
and then
it
you
just...
Go,
it, yeah.
But it's still a solid show.
It's, I just... I have to give it... I have to put it in the... And here's another show that I watched the whole season of. Because I watched the whole season of Amazing Race. And I guess I was into it for a minute, but American Horror Story on FX.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great production, really good actors. Jessica Lange on that was amazing, and everyone raved about her. And really, the whole family on that was real good. But... You know, they just, they had no rules. You know how you said there's rules for zombies? And this is about ghosts, about, like, dead people coming back to life. And not as, like, you know, The Walking Dead, but as ghosts. As, but, like, a ghost can grab a gun and shoot you.
Mm.
Why? Well, yeah. Where does that happen? You know what I mean? Like,
that kind of
just,
happened
it
in,
doesn't...
That kind of happened in Paranormal Activity 3,
and then,
where
like,
the ghost could suddenly do shit.
Right. And then the ghost, like, people would show up, and if they wanted to, they could just be real... in the house, and the living people wouldn't know that they were ghosts. They would just look real. And then if they wanted to not be seen, they could just not be seen. Mm-hmm. And it was just, they had all these wacky rules to where I just went, like, I give up. I just told my girlfriend, I went, like, we were four episodes in,
and
I go...
And then there's a guy in a bondage costume. I tried.
It's
I found
not,
it unwatchable.
It's I really tried. And it was creepy, and it did all of those things that horror movie fans want. But what I want is a good story, and this really didn't have it. Although what they did do, and I can spoil it for you and everyone else now, and if you don't want to hear about how America...
They killed off everybody, right?
They basically killed off everybody, and they're going to...
Oops, spoiler.
Well, yeah, I was going to give a spoiler alert before you said they killed everybody. But basically what they decided was that American Horror Story Season 2 will be a new story.
Right.
So it's going to become an anthology of some sort.
You and I like that, but other people don't.
I don't know if I'll watch season two of this.
Look,
The Twilight Zone
was a new show. It was a new story
every
time.
Right, but it's 13 of the same, and boy, the American Horror Story got ridiculous towards the end, and the woman was pregnant with two babies, and one of them was from the devil or something. I don't know what was
going on. Dios mío.
Yeah, it was wacky. And
El Diablo.
It was wacky and stupid.
So I watched it on... I watched Mexican Horror.
You
Story.
Watched the Mexican Horror Story. So you had a bad fajita, isn't that Mexican?
Si.
He drank the water, isn't it?
La novela de horror on Galavision.
Do you want to do some more bad shows? Go ahead, get some bad.
El Diablo.
Get some.
Dios mío, in the hell. Okay.
Get the bad show in here.
You want to get a bad show? Pan Am.
Yeah. See ya.
Pan Am sucked. Oh, and wait, what's that? The Playboy Club.
Oh,
let me throw
awesome.
Them in there together.
Yeah, well.
Those two all lumped together because they were transparent Mad Men clones.
They were, yeah.
Okay, you were talking about how they weave historical characters into Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit less of that on Mad Men, but there are some real people, like Conrad Hilton showed up because he wanted them to do his ad campaign.
Right.
They may, on Mad Men, it makes sense.
Yeah.
On Pan Am and Playboy Club, it was like, let's throw in people for no good reason. Let's just, it was terrible. They'd make reference, Joey Bishop's going to be here tomorrow. Unwatchable Drek. They tried to do, the thing is Mad Men found an angle. The advertising world was a way to look at that time and look at the way things were changing.
Yeah.
The Playboy Club was some shit that happened at the time and had nothing to do with anything else.
Well,
Pan Am, who gives a shit?
I watched exactly one Pan Am and one Playboy Club. If you're asking me to give my vote, I would have went for Playboy Club being the better show because it was grittier and it was like kind of a mob story. Pan Am was like, it was like a soap opera about lady spies or something.
It could have been just a dishy soap opera about chicks who, right?
Yeah.
But instead, they had to go to international locales and get into crimes every week.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
What?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, one girl was a CIA recruit. And you
like, they did a whole spy angle, and then they, and you know, like, then, like, oh, this spy infiltrated Pan Am and made this flight, and he should have known. And then it was like, it was a training exercise.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this?
There was a show called Super Train.
Yeah.
In the 70s. That was a legendary bomb, right?
Super Train was like was it like the Love Boat on a train?
Yes.
Sort of, yeah.
It was a train that did like 400 miles an hour. It was like a magnetic train.
Yeah.
But every week there was always like, there's a terrorist on this train, you know, or there's a jewel thief that's trying to steal the jewels that are in the cabin in section C. It was so, and you're like, it's a fucking train. Who cares?
Really.
It was so stupid. Pan Am had that going for
Pan Am was bad. And by the way, Pan Am had some really awful, like, CGI, like the airplane, you know, because they had to rebuild the Pan Am terminal and the planes because they don't exist anymore.
The plane
and
actually really looked cool in the plane.
I thought it was bad, but.
But the CG was obvious.
V had some awful CG, by the way. We're going to talk about bad
Nothing CG. But bad CG.
And that's not even from last year, but V was deadly. With the CGI.
Joel's so mad about V.
Fucking V, man.
Still mad about
fucking
V.
Fucking V. Oh.
Those goddamn aliens.
Yeah.
Bring back Mark Singer.
V couldn't have pissed me off more if Regis was on it. V was so annoying.
Okay. I thought V was going to be all about pussy, and then that wasn't that. I thought that's what the show
Any more
was
bad shows, or should I?
Oh, I got plenty of bad shows.
All right, well, let me give you, I mean, I'm going to save the big one for the end, but I think any 24-hour news channel is a big piece of shit at this point. And I get that, like, CNN really served a purpose when it came out, but when there's five of them and all you're doing is pundit talking head shit all day, I'm bored with that.
Right.
You know, it's the missing white women, the missing baby, and Rick Santorum has gained in the polls. Go fuck yourself. I'm not interested in any of that shit.
I will turn on CNN if there's some kind of major, like when the, when the tsunami hit.
Yes.
That was good.
That's good. News channels are good for reporting.
When Egypt was in uproar.
But when there's nothing good to report, when there's no good stories to actually put a guy on the ground and cover, then it's just a bunch of babble.
And you know what? See, for me, that's kind of the default stuff. I watch that crap all the time.
Yeah, I try. I
because
really don't.
I can only watch so much ESPN.
Right.
If I'm working from home, I leave the crap on the back. But you're right. There's like two shows on MSNBC. Right. Hardball is not bad.
Yeah.
Rachel Maddow is interesting.
There's some of the CNBC documentaries that they do on like Pepsi and McDonald's, and they do those hour-long.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Right.
But if I have to see Gus Van Sant or the FBI profiler, and where did this missing white woman go? Well, you know, these police, and it's like, you know, you don't know fucking jack shit. You're on there talking out of your ass, and I know you're in the FBI.
Warren Vandersloot?
Clint Van Sant. He's the FBI profiler. Let me apologize right now.
You know, apparently they cut her up and hit her in her own private Idaho.
When I was making drugs to a cowboy with Matt Dillon, not what he said. This guy Clint Van Zandt.
Have you seen Goodwill Hunting? Have you seen it? No, I know Clint.
He's got the mustache and he's on every show talking about
anybody who
they think killed a crime and they never
court
get
TV
it right.
is gone, but anybody who made a living off court shows.
Well, it's True TV now, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Nancy Grace, all of these schmucks. Those are terrible.
But the
political stuff.
Why don't you take your HLN? Take your HLN and just fucking incinerate it in a giant gasoline fuel fire. It's all shit.
HLN is gross. Why is there speaking of cable, why is there an ESPN News and an HLN? Who needs that shit?
Exactly. Those can go.
SportsCenter's
on every minute.
I'm with you. I watch a lot. I watch a little bit of Fox, but if I watch like Red Eye on Fox.
Yeah.
That's the only one I can. I can choke those two down because there's like jokes on them.
Okay, yeah.
Hannity, I would rather fucking eat.
You watched The Five? That replaced Glenn Beck.
I have watched a little bit of The Five,
It's the same guy. It's the guy from Red Eye.
If it's Fox and Friends, if it's Hannity, if it's, what's it, fucking, well, Beck's gone.
Beck's gone, yeah.
Beck was the worst.
Well, it's Greta, right?
Oh, she's terrible.
It's Greta and O'Reilly And
so I might occasionally want stomach some O'Reilly. Hannity, I want to shoot myself in the face.
Right.
Those shows are dreadful.
Exactly.
On Fox.
Yeah.
MSNBC. Al Sharpton can go fucking.
Well, you know,
Carl under a rock and die.
People hate Fox News, and here's the one thing I will say: they have better personalities hosting their stuff. Their hour long discussion shows generally. I mean, Hardball's good, but you know what I mean? Like Lawrence O'Donnell and some of these guys. Come on, get out of here with that.
Lawrence O'Donnell is good.
They're not good hosts. No,
Lawrence O'Donnell is good as a panel guy who comes on and goes. The best thing he used to be on like the. God, we're old men. We sit and talk about political. He used to be on the McLaughlin Group.
Okay.
And Larry O'Donnell would come on a panel and just go, "You're full of shit." Like he would just go, he would just look Ann Coulter or somebody in the face and go, "This is why you're wrong," and he'd list why they were wrong. When he's got to do an hour show, he's trying to do Olbermann, and he's not as good at it.
I just think Fox has better anchors oftentimes than the other ones. And I think sometimes people just look at that and they hate them because
I think the Dayside stuff on there.
Yeah.
I think Shepard Smith is fine, but I think the fucking the procession of blonde news bimbos they have reading
Martha
the news.
Martha McCallum.
They're terrible.
People, yeah.
Well, Fox, but I hate Fox for its message and its production quality.
Okay. All right, enough of
that. I'm with you. Those are terrible.
I don't like any of those.
Well, CNN, they're going to beam in the ghost of Will.i.am. to solve a problem.
Oh, that was the election coverage.
Well, that Piers Morgan, look, he already made my
Piers
assholes
Morgan
of the
tonight.
List here.
Oh, my God.
That Piers Morgan is the least watchable shit you've ever seen. It is so dreadful. It is pukerific.
Yeah. Well, I have any cooking show. Now, this is me, and I disagree
with. All right, that's just you.
If you're cooking, I'm not watching.
Well.
Here's okay.
We watch cooking. Okay, that's another thing.
Let me get to the next one, because you might want to jump on this. Anything that's called the next great blank, get off my TV. I don't care.
All right. Let me talk about Food Network. Okay, you talk about ESPN and its peccadilloes and Fox and how awful they are and MSNBC. Food Network is its own little universe, and they'll now do any they have got a spinoff of every goddamn thing.
All right.
And, okay, I watch food TV, and I've learned a lot of stuff watching those shows about how to cook. Anthony Bourdain will go somewhere and eat something great and go to a cool place, and it's a fun show to watch. You don't learn shit about how to cook stuff.
It's travelogue.
Right. And you look and you go, wow, Greece looks kind of cool. Maybe I'd like to go there.
Yeah.
But on the Food Network, you actually will learn techniques sometimes.
Okay.
Now there's a cooking channel. There's now two cooking channels.
There's a cooking channel
there's the
and
Food
a Food Network,
Network and then the cooking channel. Food Network is getting awful. And by the way, I'm going to preview. If we still have a 2012 best and worst.
Yeah.
Rachel versus Guy celebrity cook-off. Yeah.
Get out.
Will be the fucking
get off my TV.
Worst thing. It was so bad.
Is there a show? Let me ask you, because you are Mr. Food Network. And I was just writing down ideas, like, what have I seen? Because that's not necessarily shows that I'll watch every week, because they're the worst, but is there not, like, a best America's Best Food Truck?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, wait.
Why?
What about Cupcake Wars?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay.
I mean, I watched guy that you told me to watch who made his KFC and did all the secret recipes.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
That was sort of interesting in a way, but, you know.
The guy breaks down. That's on, CMT or
that's
something.
That's on CMT, but it's...
The guy will go to,
it
like...
It feels very Food Network,
yeah,
but...
he'll go to Cinnabon, and he'll go, how did they make the Cinnabon? And he'll try to figure out
A lot of that's a work, too, where he's climbing through garbage pails.
Sure.
Come on.
Sure.
If Cinnabon wanted to, that show wouldn't make the air. If they didn't give their approval, you wouldn't be talking about Cinnabon.
And they always put over KFC or Cinnabon or whoever it is so that they look great.
They get them to play along.
They never go... Yeah, this KFC tastes like shit.
And they never go like, your shit's better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's equal to, but it's never considered better than.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though I bet you could go anywhere in the South and get better fried chicken than KFC.
Yeah.
But beside the point.
Just making it yourself would be better. Just even if by the same recipe, it would be fresher to make it yourself.
Here's what happens on Food Network. Okay, there's a show called Chopped. The premise of Chopped is they get four chefs. Mm-hmm. They give them baskets full of wacky stuff.
Right.
You know, they'll be like, you get to have octopus, jelly beans, butter, and arugula. You know, and then you got to make something out of
make something out of it. Yeah.
Okay, and that's
like Junkyard Wars with cooks.
Yeah. And then they'll give them wacky ingredients, and that's kind of fun. Okay. But what they do then is they have Chopped. The guy, there's like somebody wins every week.
Okay.
Then there becomes the Chopped Tournament of Champions, right?
I want to hit you with this glass of water.
No, it's like Jeopardy.
I'm really angry right now.
What I'm saying, it's like it becomes like Jeopardy where they have tournament of champions. Like they collect 10 guys who won on Chopped and then go, now you're going to compete against each other. Then they have like the tournament of grand champions with the whole season. And then they have like celebrity Chopped champions. So they just milk the thing.
I got a rule.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm running for office. You can vote for this.
Yeah,
okay. I'm going to invoke a one chef rule.
Yeah,
you can have a show. You can only have one chef on your show. That's the rule. Too many chefs.
Uh-huh.
Spoil the broth. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you put a bunch of chefs together, I'm out of there.
That's going to come up to my next show.
What is that?
The Chew.
God,
have you heard about this? Have you seen this? All right.
I'm turning green over here, Corey.
Yeah. Now, okay. Now, we do watch food television all the time.
You
and
do.
We do watch... Okay, they've got a couple different shows that are like food. I don't even know what they're called, like Food Wars or Food.
What do they do on that?
There was one episode where they went to National Coney Island and American Coney Island, and they had a battle over who was better.
Who was better? Okay,
those are kind of fun where they go to Pat's Steaks and
I see Travel Channel documentaries where they tell you where to go eat. Those are okay.
Those are the shows on Food Network I can take.
Right,
Paula Deen can go piss up a rope. That I can't have any of her in her butter.
Right.
But then they put... So then they have Iron Chef, all right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got to have an empire now in cooking. That's the problem. It's not enough that you're a chef and you got a restaurant. You got to have five restaurants. You got to have a cookbook. Mm-hmm. You got to have a TV show. You got to have your own products. Rachel Ray's got to sell her orange-colored whisks and her, you know, her crock pots and whatever it is. I feel like I've been here all year.
I know. It's 8 o'clock now, practically.
All right, let's wrap this up.
It's almost 2 hours.
Then there's a show called The Chew.
Yeah.
Okay? What they do in The Chew is they decided that the fucking View wasn't bad enough. They're canceling all the sitcom. They're canceling all the soap operas, so they got to replace it with something cheap.
Yeah.
So what they do, they took Michael Simon from Food Network, who has a restaurant in Detroit called Roast, and is in Cleveland-based. Michael Simon from Iron Chef. Mario Batali from every other gay cooking show and Iron Chef. One of the losers from Top Chef.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if she won. She might have won All-Star Top Chef. I don't know, Joel. Carla. There, and then they bring Dr. Oz's cunty daughter. Okay?
I'm throwing a flag on this. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with this show. I'm done hearing it. I can barely hear you talk about it, let alone watch it. It's that bad.
You got to watch it. It's so bad. So it's like they're trying to do like hot topics.
Yeah.
And they sit around and go, whatever. What happens if your husband doesn't like linguine and you do? You know what I mean? They try and do that. Or what happens if your guest, you know,
they're shoehorning it into a format that it doesn't.
Yeah. And then they got Clinton Kelly from What Not to Wear. And I know this because I live with a woman and, you know, I'm in a long term committed domestic relationship. And I got to unfortunately watch some HGTV and watch some goddamn TLC and What Not to Wear. So now they got the gay guy from What Not to Wear hosting. He doesn't know how fucking dick about cooking. And then he's got four cooks. And then, like, there'll literally be segments where all four of them are fucking whisking an egg white. And you're sitting there going, what? And they're all making different shit and they're joking back and forth. It's unbelievably terrible. The Chew. And the only thing worse than The Chew is The Talk.
All right. I'm not even getting into The Talk.
How bad is that?
I've also got work-related reality shows with dumb, punny names like Big Shrimpin'. And I don't even know how many more of those there are, but I know Big Shrimpin' is about a shrimp boat. And I'm just like, I'm done with that. There's a gold mine show. Yeah. And there's
anything with a wars.
There's a logging.
Swamp wars. Storage wars. Storage wars on my best.
Right. Yeah, I know, but...
But there's everything's a war. Cupcake wars can fuck off because they're all cupcakes. Stuff. They look alike.
Or it's the kings. They're either the wars or the kings.
Yeah. There's
either in the wars or they're the kings.
They got rid of Ace of Cakes.
The stars, the kings, the wars.
They got rid of Ace of Cakes and then they brought on Cake Boss, where it's a Goomba that makes
cakes. They coexisted, but yeah.
Yeah. But now that show. Oh, no. Let me ask something right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the listening audience. You can call in 610-552-0746.
Oh, yeah, please do.
If you're still listening to this after an hour and a half. 610-552-0746. Call in and tell me why you would watch a show about a fucking logger. Right?
Look.
There was a show on, I shit you not,
the logging show might be tremendous. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't get past the logging shows, the gold mine shows, the fishing show, the boat show. There's too many. The truckers.
Deadliest Catch was hot, so let's do lobster pots.
All right.
Lobster men.
Yeah, it's like, ridiculous.
Well, we caught crab. Now let's catch the lobster. It's awful. I wouldn't piss on a logger if they were on fire. Like these are the low. And then there's like literally shows where these hillbillies go down in the swamp and shoot gators.
Yeah.
Like who?
There's more than one of those.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there's more than one.
There's
of
like
those.
Bayou battles and swamp wars. I would get the fuck as far away from that one-toothed fucking degenerate, gin-soaked fucking sweat-stained Cajun piece of shit. I couldn't get far enough away from. I haven't gone to Louisiana. I've never been to New Orleans for fear I'd run into one of these bumblefuck hillbillies. And they got a show where they go on. Well, I'm going to go catch me a get out. Another big old get out down. I'm going to shoot it up and catch it with a... I got a machete and I'm going to chop it up. What fucking... Why would you want to watch that?
And then there's hillbilly hand fishing.
Well, don't even get me started on hillbilly hand fishing. All right,
and then I also want to make for... I mean, any of these shows, just it's too much. Even if you're good, you can't each stand out from the pack anymore.
Joel,
so
there's two shows about hogging.
There are!
There's two shows about people who ride out on ATVs... And shoot wild boars.
Isn't there late? I shit you not. I think there's...
If you're not an American, by the way, if Sparksy or anybody who used to live... any of our international
our
listeners...
Australian fans.
Our Australian, New Zealand, wherever you are. I know there's shows that are stupid where you live.
Sure.
I know there's a lot of shows with a bunch of dumb sex and stunts and people lighting off firecrackers in their asshole. There's nothing as stupid on your television as people in Texas riding on ATVs shooting fucking wild
boars. I believe there's a...
It's the dumbest shit on earth.
I believe there's a Lady Hoggers somewhere on TV now.
Well,
and
that's
I'm
what
like,
you do. If Pawn Stars is hot, then it's Lady Pawn Stars.
Well, there's Lady, there's Lady Pickers, because you had the American Pickers. Now there's the Lady Pickers. I know you want. I want to throw shit. This is the most. This is one of the more infuriating shows.
Lady Pickers.
There's Lady Pickers. Ugh. There's Lady this. There's Lady. Okay. By the way, enough of that.
Lady
that,
farts.
By the way, that was about six words on my piece of paper. That is infuriating.
We could have done a whole show about this.
Okay. First of all, and then just a couple more because I really got to go. If you're the Real Housewife of anything, get off my TV.
Get the fuck.
That's enough of that. I don't even want to. Don't even elaborate because that's just enough. Okay, Two and a Half Men, you replaced Charlie Sheen with Ashton Kutcher and maintained the level of suck that you did for all those years with Charlie. So congratulations, Chuck Lorre. Look, you had Charlie Sheen as your asshole of the year. I don't disagree with that at all. But Chuck Lorre can suck a nut just for making those shows.
Sure.
Get out of here with that. And then, of course, this show, it all comes down to this, ladies and gentlemen. I really can't tell you, and I've spent... Mm-hmm. Look, I've spent a lot of my, you know, mostly if you talk about what I did in 2011, I did a lot of comedy shows. I did some stuff with ICP. I got with my girlfriend. I watched a lot of good movies. I tried to raise a cat that ran away and died. But most of what I did was hate two fucking broke girls. I want to fucking die. I was going to do a drum roll for it, and I didn't even do a drum roll for it because I'm so angry. I can't even get a goddamn drum roll. I'm so angry with the goddamn.
We've never had a drum roll.
Girls. I had a drum. I hate that show. I hate the two broke girls. It's the worst. This is. I explained this to you on the phone the other day, and you said I was doing a great job on the phone, and I'm probably not going to do as good a job.
I know you were ripping.
It's people standing in a room talking about penises and vaginas, and when they're done in that room, they go to a different room where another person joins the conversation about penis and vaginas. It's the whole show. Well, let's go in the back room to cook.
That's what Two and a Half Men is
exactly, and it's the same thing. And I know Two and a Half and Two Broke Girls is not. From Chuck Lorre, but it's the same playbook. It's people who can't act. The show's not about anything. It's literally just about people who, you know, it's people standing in a room insulting each other, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
It's like every bad 70s sitcom they've gone back to. It's like every, like...
Were 70s shows that bad, though?
They were.
Really?
You watch an AKA, you watch a fucking Chico and the Man.
Well,
you watch a Chico and a Man, okay?
Okay.
Here's what happened on 70s shows. Star of show would walk in, huge applause break.
Yeah.
Star of show would go, hey, what's going on, man? Your face looked like a monkey farted on it.
Well.
And then he would go, looking good. And then they go, ah!
I get Sanford and Son where Fred would make fun of, you
That
know.
Show was funny, though.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is with the 70s sitcoms? We only see the ones that were good.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, although, let's be honest, Three's Company is not exactly genius television.
No, but there was a charm to it.
There were a lot of bad, failed 70s sitcoms that we don't see anymore.
When these shows push the envelope, though, they realize that the buzzword will get the laugh. The penis will get the laugh. It's not the situation that gets the laugh anymore. And that's the difference between Three's Company and these other shows. These other shows would sort of hint... that, you know, Jack wanted to sleep with Chrissy and Janet. And these shows, you know, if it was around today, Jack would actually sleep with Chrissy and Janet. And then they'd all insult each other about how bad it was afterwards. Mm-hmm. Versus in the 70s, Jack would never get to sleep with Chrissy and Janet because he was a schmuck.
Right.
And that is inherently more funny than the, you know, the Lothario who is just insulting women he slept with, which is what Two and a Half Men does. And what Two Broke Girls when they sit around and, you know, the girls make jokes about each other's vaginas and what they smell like. And it's just, it's the worst television you could ever watch.
I would say that
truly awful.
The big problem with this show, and I'm probably this will cause trouble at home.
Yeah.
She likes Amy has a tendency to like anything that puts girls on top.
Yeah.
She'll go, well, Whitney's not that good, but at least it's her show. And she made it and she wrote it. She really will try and push the women first agenda. And I understand why she does
it. Yeah.
It's like her team.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Lions sucked for 10 years, but I would make excuses for them. Yeah. Well, the officiating was terrible. Not all the time, but that's what she kind of does.
Whitney's not even on my worst list.
Whitney's bad, but it's better. Whitney
mediocrely bad. Yeah.
Whitney looks like Mary Tyler Moore. It looks like Cheers next to Two Broke Girls.
Two Broke Girls.
And the thing with Two Broke Girls is That cow can't act. That's the problem.
She's awful. Kat Dennings is truly,
what I was saying.
Awful.
What I was saying about Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. The jokes are borderline above the jokes on. I think their writing staff is a little better than How I Met Your Mother, or I mean,
Two Broke Girls,
Two and a Half Men,
Yeah. It,
or Mike and Molly,
yeah,
which are all fucking awful. Even though Billy Gardell's a nice guy,
yeah.
The actors are good enough on Big Bang to cover it a little.
Yeah.
The acting is so terrible on Two Broke Girls. The blonde is a stupid cow.
She's horrible, yeah.
That Kat Dennings is going to fall out of her fucking top at any minute. And I'll give that up.
Okay, but that,
I like the tits.
Okay, let's make that show.
But she is so awfully bad.
But she's a badass. She's tough.
Yeah.
She's tough. You can't ruffle her feathers, Corey. I know.
Yeah, she's so tough, she works at a diner.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
just,
what?
You
get
know,
back in the kitchen, bitches.
Right.
That's what I say about that. When's that
it's
show?
Like, it's
debut?
Like, it's like, you know, we're waitresses, but we hate being waitresses. And that's the show, and it's not like, you know.
There was a show called Alice that did that.
Exactly, but it's just,
what? You know what I mean? That's,
right.
Isn't it Alice? Isn't it an updated
Alice?
But
Alice, they didn't, you know, Flo and Alice didn't run around, you know, making jokes about Mel's cock.
Yeah, they did.
Not in a deliberate way. Not in the same way they make them now.
Okay.
The jokes are cruder.
That was because
and they're not as funny.
Well, standards and practices couldn't get away
with.
But
they were funnier.
Flo was do you remember that show at all?
The innuendo was funny.
Every moment
these shows aren't innuendo. They just say it.
Why is every moment of Alice burned into my memory like a fucking?
I don't know.
Flo was a big whore.
Okay.
Okay. Flo had banged everything that moved.
Okay.
Except Mel.
Right.
No one would fuck Mel.
Right.
The Alice wouldn't fuck him. Mo, Flo, the skinny broad. I don't even remember her
yeah,
name.
Yeah, I don't remember her name.
They wouldn't fuck Mo.
Yeah.
Mel. And Mel was always like, "You dingy broads, why don't you get in here and give me a blumpkin?" And they would never do it. And it made him nuts. And
Corey,
they wouldn't fuck him.
Corey will be performing a one-man show of Vic Tayback off Broadway this fall. Previews begin in July.
All the great work. Remember when he was on Star Trek and they went to the planet where it was
the
all
Vic Tayback experience. Yeah.
Well, here's your Vic Tayback highlights. There's this Twilight Zone where he gets killed by the doll.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Vic Tayback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's the Vic Tayback when he was on Star Trek where they went to the planet where it was all mob people. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a good one. And he was like, "Hey, those heaters are pretty good." And then he went on Alice. "You dingy broads!" And here's what Two Broke Girls
Vic
does.
Vic Tayback, a one-man show.
Hold on. Here's what they stole from Alice on Two Broke Girls.
What is that?
On Alice, Mel was always in the kitchen covered in chili and grease.
Yeah.
And he would, because my chili's the best. Oh, it was a lot of fart jokes.
Okay.
Mel would go, ding. He'd ring the bell. "Order up. Alice, you crack-whored slut. No. Get out of here with your pestilence and your whorish tendencies, your diseased vagina." He'd go ding, and then he'd make a joke. They do that on Two Broke Girls.
There's a guy in the kitchen,
and he hits the bell. He goes ding on the bell. And
he's Harpo Marx.
I kind of love that. That's the only thing I like about
that. Here's the thing. Alice had a kid. It sort of had.
Yeah.
She was, you know, she was working there to sort of, you know, she was a single mom. And these Two Broke Girls, it's like the only reason they're in the diner is so they can make, you know, dick jokes about the customers.
Well, Alice would, like all those shows in the 70s, would have a moment where they'd go into something real.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah.
Good times.
Sure. Yeah. Good
they
times.
Would get real on you every now and then.
Once in a
Maude
while.
Would get real on you now and then. There's no getting real
on
any of these shows.
Bookman had sickle cell or something. Yeah. And on Good Times.
On a very special.
Was that what they would do? Yeah.
Right. But that they would get real with you for a minute. Bookman had sickle cell.
No, I think he really did. No. Right. I'm not making that up.
But it'd be like,
Good Times.
You know, Wilona would have a drinking problem or something, you know, and they'd have to get into some problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, JJ's girlfriend would want him to steal something.
Yeah, exactly.
They get real on you for a minute.
Yeah.
There's no getting real on a Chuck Lorre show. There's no getting real. There's no anything, any moment. That's my problem with How I Met Your Mother. I don't feel reality.
Well, they're trying, like, you know, the one couple's trying to have kids and stuff. There are that, whatever.
Yeah,
but still, those How I Met Your Mother.
It's better than that shit.
You can say How I Met Your Mother sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You can say it sucks. You can give it a thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still 8 billion times better than Two Broke Girls. And they can both suck. But when you actually want to rank them and you actually want to give some, you know, which one's trying to be, you know, it's just too broken. That's got to go. And every critic that previewed that and said that was good needs to be taken out to the woodshed. Somebody needs.
It's got a lot of good buzz.
Somebody needs to answer for what happened with that.
You know,
show,
if you go back if you go back and listen to our show where we handicapped the fall season.
Yeah.
Which, when are we going to get a result on that?
Well, you know what? Stuff has been canceled, and it probably pretty soon. Yeah. I think those, a lot of the stuff that's been canceled fall isn't coming back, so we can get totals on those. And then the rest is probably going to start to fall into place, you know, by March, April, May.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I had some other, Man Up was on my list.
Oh, God. I never saw it.
But which, by the way, it's about to be eclipsed by a show. They bumped Man Up
for Work
and
It.
Replaced it for a show called Work It.
Oh, God.
Which is like a three-camera comedy in which a guy dresses up as a woman to get a job. Which was only done on Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
Was only actually in Bosom Buddies, they had a place to live. So they
That was the thing. Yeah, they were living in.
They had day jobs.
Yeah.
Where they'd go to an office and were like drafters or something. Then there was Tootsie.
They couldn't afford a New York apartment or something.
Right.
In Bosom Buddies.
And Tootsie was the inspiration for Bosom Buddies. Then back in the 60s, there was a show called Ugliest Girl in Town. The same, and everybody said it was the worst show ever made.
Was that the basis of Some Like It Hot or not really?
No, that was before.
Some Like It Hot, they were what,
the
hiding?
That was in the 50s.
They were hiding from the mob.
They were hiding from the mob.
In Some Like It Hot.
They had to get in with the jazz band.
Yeah.
They were jazz musicians, and they had to dress up to get away from the mob.
They were taking like an all-female train or something. Yeah, wasn't that the deal with them?
We had a train that rode from New York to Miami Beach.
Did they, Jackie?
We had two Dixieland bands. They would play all the way from Atlanta down to Jacksonville, and then I'd say, take 10 miles off. And the other band would start right up.
All right, now wait a minute. Are you doing, when is your Jackie Gleason one picture starting?
Here's what it is.
Yeah, what do you do?
I'll be Vic Tayback, you be Jackie Gleason.
Oh, I'll be Jackie Gleason.
And then we'll do.
When Vic Tayback met Jackie Gleason.
The great one and the late one. We'll do a show and we'll make it the one man, the two man show.
You know, you laugh, and then I read Mindy Kaling's book where she got famous.
From doing the Matt Damon thing?
She got signed for pretending she was Ben Affleck, so there you go. You laugh about us being Vic Tayback and Jackie Gleason.
How about a tender love story between Vic Tayback and Jackie Gleason?
All right. I think that's enough, goddamn.
I got
show.
Quick lightning round. The Insider.
Bad Entertainment Tonight.
What's the one with Billy Bush on it?
Oh, Access Hollywood. The live one, Access Hollywood Live, the midday show.
Look, I've made a lifetime staying out of prison. Mm-hmm. If I could kick Kit Hoover in the pussy, I would do it. Or Billy Bush, if I could kick him in the pussy, I would go right to jail.
You know, if only that Road Rules RV had driven off the road, we'd be done. We would have been done with Kit Hoover a long time ago.
God. The entire OWN network, the entire Oprah experience, that could all fuck itself.
Goodbye to that.
That could go right in the answer.
Yeah, I agree.
There was a little show called Hater.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, we
from the mind of Mario Lopez.
From the mind of Mario Lopez. What is in the mind of Mario Lopez?
It's fucking crickets in a Frioli. It's a bowl of salsa and some chips that fucking had nothing.
Yeah.
Dummy. Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah.
And, of course, the number one worst show in the history of television, the show that ruined everyone's lives, the show that will sink the earth in 2012. I think the Mayans were predicting it.
Oh.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Well, who knows where that's going, because they got the spinoffs.
That's going to hell.
Khloe's
where that's
going to Dallas.
Who can watch those cows?
You know what? There are women who, that's what many young girls, teenagers, young adults aspire to be them.
They dream of never having a thought.
Right, yeah.
Just being idiotic bimbo.
Right. I don't get it.
I swear to God, that show, they run Bruce Jenner like a whore. They might as well just put Bruce Jenner in fucking push-up bra and pumps and lipstick his face up.
But I don't understand. Here's the one thing about the Kardashian show that I don't get, and we do have to go because it's been forever. But, you know, does their show support their lifestyle?
Yes.
Or does it, or is the lifestyle the show? Like, at some point, were they fabulously wealthy before the show, and then they sort of Like, I'm just like, the whole thing is just bizarre because, like, one just fuels the other. You know what I mean? Like, the more money they spend, the more people like the show, and then the more they like the show, the more money they get. It's just this bizarre sort of cycle of the more people like the show, the more we have to watch of them, sort of.
Well, and what happened was their dad made money as a lawyer.
Right.
So ambulance chaser, mm-hmm. and he defended OJ, and he was OJ's number one guy. He was rich.
Wife took half his money.
Yeah. And then he kicked off.
Right.
So they were probably fairly affluent.
Yeah.
They went, oh shit, the money ticket, the meal ticket's
gone.
But
she took half his money before she married Bruce Jenner.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she married Bruce Jenner, who probably had a couple bucks in the bank.
Sure.
And then they went, oh shit, how are we going to make this go?
Yeah.
And Kim said, I know, black cock. That's how it's going to go. And she did a fucking, right? And then, so they were like jock sniffers.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a lot of
Kim
that.
And the other one, and then she married some homo. I don't know what the.
Yeah, that guy's a.
The Yeti, the Sasquatch, the middle sister.
You know the rumor? You know the rumor about that, right?
Big Dyke. What? No.
She was like the. Kris Jenner banged. The mom, Kris Jenner now, she banged some football player.
Oh, that's
she cheated on Robert Kardashian with a football
player.
That's
why she doesn't look.
That's
why
they
two.
Got one giantess and the others are sort of petite.
I think there's that's something what, to it. She doesn't look. If you line the three of them up, she doesn't look.
She
like
doesn't it. Look like she fits. Yeah.
Why don't they do the Kardashians on SNL? Why don't they put like Keenan in the fucking wig?
right. Yeah.
Put Jason Sudeikis in a wig
exactly,
and make him Chloe because
yeah.
the bitch is hit.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a Yeti. She's a goddamn
right.
Wookiee.
It doesn't make sense. And you know, people. That's I've heard that rumor that you know, but I don't know. Some of that I think is you know, Harry doesn't look like William either, and people think that Diana banged some other guy. But
you know, what are you gonna do? Just good for Harry because that's an ugly family too. Oh, the Kardashian show is it's cancer. It's not
it really
it's not
is.
Just bad.
I have the Real Housewives representing that same thing.
They're awful,
and that's what that is. Is that's mm-hmm. the Kardashians for 50-year-olds almost.
Who's that? Oh, you know what? Actually, is worse than that. The Mo. Who interviews the housewives after the housewives
oh,
show.
Oh, there's like a reunion of the housewives?
There's like the what happens next or what that whole Bravo thing.
I mean,
thing.
Like, who want like, does anyone aspire to be on that show?
Gays.
I mean, and what?
Gays.
No, but I mean,
gays.
Like, the women.
Yeah.
Like, there's women that go, I want to be the real housewife of Ferndale.
There's
or
women.
There's women
wanna
that say,
on
I
want to
be the real...
Real Housewives of Ferndale.
Whatever. That's a bunch of guys, actually. The Real Housewives of Ferndale. I'm going to make that. The Real Housewives of Ferndale, a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right, here's what we're going to do. This is the new Broadway lineup. We got a Vic Tayback one-man show. We're going to do the Real Housewives of Ferndale live. We're doing this
it's gonna be
at
called,
the Ringwald.
The Vic
and
Tayback show is going to be called Order Up.
Order Up. The Life and Times of Vic Tayback.
Why?
Man show.
I could have been something. You dingy broads.
Corey in a wife beater and a paper hat. And here
this
he is.
This is podcasting for two, by the way. No one gives a shit. 610-552-0746.
Buy your Vic Tayback tickets in advance because they're going fast. Corey will be
all right.
Corey will be getting in shape by not eating
yeah.
and for I'm, not eating anything
that's
good
one,
for
that's
six
one role I'd
months.
Have to put weight on
yeah,
for.
Really.
That's amazing. All right, I'm going to go right.
It says if you're in the room with Vic Tayback.
Yeah.
It's as if you're sharing a booth at the diner of Mel's Diner. And Mel is just. And Mel's just about to close.
You'll feel every emotion of Vic
Tayback. But he decides to sit down for a slice of pie with you.
Oh, my God. All right. His chili's the best.
All right. I think that's about enough.
I've had enough.
I think we've all heard enough, but that was our best and worst of TV. And then we're going to come back next show. We left at about a...
Vic Tayback's last credit is an episode of MacGyver.
He's dead, right? Yeah. Vic Tayback, yeah. Vic
died
Tayback.
In 90.
Yeah, he's been dead.
Wow.
Well,
guy died
hard to believe.
Wow, what a contemporary reference this is.
I don't think anyone that's listening is maybe was even born when Vic Tayback was alive or Alice was on. But anyway,
And then when that's a hit, get ready for Vagoda, the one man show.
All right. Anyway, we'll catch you next time. We're gonna do the best and worst of movies on the next show, so we'll join you for that. And see you then, everybody.